the story.
So were you, were you interested in
Washington, D.C. that was of interest to you folks?
It's
so you might
want to
buy it. I heard there was a bar in Washington that had some interesting information that you guys.
Oh, the Zola Spy Restaurant Bar.
You might want to buy it.
Oh yeah, if I could, I'd in a second, especially
check
if I could see the blueprints from when it was being built.
No,
that
check
would
it
rock.
Out. You might have.
Yeah,
some,
I think you should assess.
Hey, social hacking at work to help you with your plans.
All right.
There's an interesting marriage there.
I think Randall's. You know, he'd have the right. You know, the aura about him. So I would
should
just
I
be
tell
his
the
assistant.
Tell the story. So how is every bar for sale? So last night, the question that was asked was basically, what's about hacking? I mean, what does hacking really mean? And there were some great examples of both hacking as in just poking and prodding at various computer systems and various electronic systems until they reveal information that the average guy doesn't know. And that's good. That's a good definition of hacking. But there was a severe lack of any kind of affirmation that hacking also includes social hacking. And so I interrupted and said, social hacking. We should probably talk about that. Social hacking is sort of working the system by being who you are or being a little more than you're normally so that you can push and prod the people that are around you to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do, but could actually give you some useful things. And as an example of that, in the year 2000, I was actually, I had a little bit of cash because of all the dot-com wonderful things that had happened in the previous couple of years, and so I thought I should invest in a some opportunity that was not directly related to computers, just in case things fell through. And so I said, I'm going to buy a bar. I'm going to buy a restaurant or a bar. And in Oregon, the same thing. So I had a buddy who had run bars and who had been a bartender and knew all the details. And we started going around to every bar in Portland. And here's the deal. Every bar is for sale. Truly, every bar is for sale, except maybe the top 1%. And those are the ones we didn't deal with after the first conversation. But every bar is for sale. We would go in on a Thursday night. Why Thursday? Because Thursday night, the manager was almost always there. The manager slash owner for almost every bar in the world was always there. And it was also the night he could actually talk to you because Friday and Saturday he was way too busy to talk to you. So Thursday was the good thing. And even if there was a line of people there, we would go right ahead of all that line. We would go right to the bouncer or right to whoever we could get eye contact with right at the door. And we would say, we'd like to speak to the manager. And that's usually a good clue that we're not like ordinary people there. We're not trying to get in. We're trying to talk to the manager, we say. And so, therefore, the manager would come up and we'd say, what's the deal? And then we'd say, well, we're shopping for a bar. We're looking for a bar. We're looking to buy perhaps this bar. Is it for sale? Well, let's talk. And so the manager would bring us in, and we would chat. And you have to know enough of the jargon, like what pour cost means, what labor cost is, what the typical price of a bar is. By the way, just for thumbnail, the cost of a bar is equal to 1 year's gross revenue. Okay, so if you knew these kinds of things going in, you could simply set some factors and you could probably make some sense out of it. And we would sit and chat with the guy. Well, guess what? As we're chatting with the guy, he would call over a waitress and say, you want something to drink? We would get free drinks all night and free food. Now, you can go back up to 5 times to the same bar and keep saying, well, you're on the short list now. And keep negotiating with him. And we never gave a single piece of ID. We would go in. We wouldn't even give him a phone number. We would say, we're interested in you, and they'd be happy with us. It was very, very bizarre. Every bar is for sale. That's the thing to remember. If you're in a strange town, you want a free drink or a free meal, and you can pull the jargon off, walk in any night of the week and go, I think I want to talk to somebody about this. And it works for strip clubs, too.
You have to look like you're interested in buying a bar.
But that's part of social engineering. Exactly. So that, as a definition of social hacking, social engineering, it's about presenting yourself in such a way that they respond in the way that they wouldn't respond to the ordinary public, but it gives you access to things you wouldn't get access to otherwise. So it's about posturing. It's about posing. Who here hasn't posed or postured for something in the last week. Truly. It's, and use it to your advantage. It's not being recorded, is it?
Too late.
Oh, too late. All right. Anyway, so we did that. We did that quite a bit. We actually ended up buying a bar like 3 hours away from all that spot. It was all pretty cool. And the whole point of this is questions. Questions coming in will help us decide what we're going to ramble on about. So,
is everybody here familiar with the unconference format? All right. If somebody in the room. Well, if somebody in the room brings up a good point and you want to, or asks a question, anybody else in the room wants to basically make a statement to that person, just be polite and do it. If discussion happens within this room that's not guided by the panel, it's fine. If the panel wants attention back or something like that to comment, just let it happen. This whole room is the area for the discussion, so just let the discussion happen. That's it.
Yeah, there are a lot of smart people that I've seen around out there. So, if you have comments to contribute, please feel free. We'll eventually be entirely too drunk to be of much use to you anyway.
There are plenty of hackers in the room trying to buy our bar.
First comment, just an affirmation of your story. Myself and a couple of my fraternity buddies when we were in college, we dressed up in overalls, and then one of them, my friend Kaz, he dressed up in a white lab coat and a clipboard. And we walked into the student center, and we picked up this giant mural art wall that's about as big as that screen. And it was just lying on the wall with, just screwed in. We unscrewed it, took it, moved it to the truck that was waiting out in the parking lot. Then we went home with it, took pictures of us with it, doing various things with it. Then we took it back the next day saying, the beer was good. And that was pretty much the... It's an affirmation story.
It is amazing what you can get away with if you look like you're in place. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. A clipboard will give you an incredible
power. I know somebody
power.
Who used to carry a stethoscope in his car, because if you walk around and you just hang the stethoscope around your neck, automatically you look like an EMT, and you can
That's
tell
great.
People to do anything and they will obey.
Or just simply looking like you.
Come in, guys. Come in. Just sit down.
I only play one on TV.
Okay. Here's the first easy question for the night, because somebody's going to ask it sooner or later.
Easy question.
Can I have a beer?
No.
Okay. No, we have a firm policy for how we deal with this situation. Yes. And that's the only time it works.
Once.
Only. That is the firm policy, because somebody does that every year, you are correct. So somebody toss him a beer.
My beer this time.
And while you're at it, somebody toss me a beer. Now, if somebody asks, can I have two beers, don't even try that. Surprise me.
What kind of beer?
Guinness. Not if it's a stout.
Yeah, you don't want extra stout?
I like a draft.
We've got Sweetwater 420. That's a local. That's what you want.
Okay, whatever.
You operate better. We got somebody out there? Somebody out there?
Okay. Thank you.
Real quick, you might want to say who the heck you are and why the
point.
Heck we're
kind of
listening
to
you.
We were waiting for Johnny X to deal with his medical problem before we went through the introductions.
Yeah, normally Johnny X kicks things off.
There's more people that filtered in. I want to explain that Johnny X is late, and he ran off. And he said something about, his anus bleeding. And I really don't know, what the specifics are. But I think
asinine.
That when he arrives, we should all sort of express some sympathy for the problem that he has. I know that he is on his
chair.
Way, assuming
it
that
all
he
comes
can get
out
the problem
in the
under
end.
Control.
What color
Actually, there's
the blood
a very simple
is, okay?
excuse for why, for at least why I'm late, is we were under the impression that we needed to bring the booze here. So we had a group of people that we had rounded up, I think we were, there were 10 of us, and we all had backpacks, and we were going to go up, and everybody was going to put beer in their backpacks, and everybody was going to head over here about 2 minutes apart, so nothing looked off. And no, it would have worked just fine. The problem was is we got there, and the beer was gone. All right? So
I was convincing security to help me carry the beer up the stairs.
That's social engineering.
So
a guest with wheels on his luggage
ourselves.
Is usually a repeat
idea.
Customer.
That would be a great idea, as you pointed out. We should go down the line.
Start down there. Ilanka's got a better bio than...
I need to introduce myself?
Yes, you do.
Hi, I'm Ilanka.
Hi, Ilanka!
I'm drinking vodka.
It's been 15 seconds since your last drink.
Okay. I am not officially on this panel. I was officially on the Hacking 101 panel, which I agreed to when it was an 8:30 p.m. panel yesterday. Then they changed it to 7 p.m., which was directly against another thing I was going to at 7 p.m., which meant that I was at the beginning of Hacking 101 for like 10 minutes and then ran out the door to the other panel and then ran back at the very end. And I felt really bad about that, so I volunteered to be here on the Hacking 201 panel. So be kind to me. Don't ask me questions that are too hard.
Unless
they're about crypto,
in
which case bring it on.
Just ask.
Okay.
She's a crypto expert, so if you have any crypto questions, talk to her.
I'm Ghost. I'm Johnny X's secret minion. I'm so secret, he doesn't even know about me. my day job is working with database servers, corporate intranets, and big machines to keep their secrets.
I'm Decius. So I'm like, I guess I'm well known for being around when things get started. I'll give you the same bio I gave yesterday. I started at BBS when I was in high school and decided I wanted to hang out with the people from it in the real world, and so I started a 2600 meeting in Nashville. And my BBS turned into an Echo Mail network, which turned into Echo Mail over the internet, which very quickly became a mailing list, which still exists, called it's the SE2600 mailing list. And it has sort of it's this community that kind of ties together all of the sort of local hacker scenes in the Southeast. So it's turned into something much larger than what we thought it would be to begin with. And I was also around when Electronic Frontiers Georgia got started. The United States Congress in 1996 passed a law which prescribed $100,000 fines and prison sentences for people who used indecent speech in a forum accessible to minors on the internet. Indecent being the standard they use on the radio for thing, you know, you can't say the seven dirty words. So it wasn't pornography. They were talking about dirty words. In any event, we figured a lot of people are going to get prosecuted pretty quickly, so we put together this organization in order to try to tie people that ran electronic communities in with law with lawyers. But fortunately, the Supreme Court declared the thing unconstitutional, and the Janet Reno wouldn't enforce it until the courts had reviewed it. But in any event, I was also on a panel here at Dragon Con in 1997 about intellectual property that eventually sort of was a dry run for having things like Electronic Frontiers forums here at Dragon Con. So in any event, that's who I am. And Randall is someone who likes to point a lot while you're talking next to him.
Makes obscene gestures and stuff.
We have fun with these panels.
I'm not done. I've got another 5 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. No, I'm done.
The really short version. I'm Randall Schwartz. If you've dealt with Perl, you probably know my name already.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Wow.
He was making fun of me when I talked. So.
Not you.
All right, I am Rattle, and I'm really not sure what I'm known for, but apparently it's many things. I basically get in adventures in both the real world and the online world. I spend a lot of my time building and thinking about internet communities and looking at social networks and looking at the way that the way we need to build tools to make the future work the way we want it to. And I guess you could say that if I have a specialty, it's information warfare, and putting that ability in the hands of individual people, as opposed to people who want to control individual people.
Howdy, I'm Fuller. I'm just like Ilanka. I've only actually been officially on this panel once, but for the past 5 years, I've actually just sat up here and nobody cares. So I'm again.
He social engineered his way onto the panel.
We did this panel. We picked up a lot of people the first time we did this panel. We wound up with a large posse following us around everywhere.
Posse.
Well, we just all went out to dinner afterwards and whatever. And
they beat a couple people down they had a problem with.
That
posse
showed
stuff
up there. And I see many folks around here who we picked up into this community, which is a really neat community. via doing this.
You get to recognize people, you know, every year, kind of the same people come back.
And, same people
you know,
come back.
I may not know their names, but I know their faces. Yeah.
Hey, man, the Klingons got their party and we got ours, all right?
Yeah. but, yeah, I guess what I do for a living is part of my job is data security for financial institutions. So part of my job is breaking into banks and credit unions. So lots of fun.
Need some help.
Cool. So I guess we've introduced ourselves.
Okay. Questions. Questions from the audience.
Okay. Oh, Drew. Hey. Here. Introduce yourself, Mr. Late.
Take advantage the masquerade, the ball, whatever, just got out. They're not letting anyone come in the back, so we had to walk around the building.
No, that is.
Johnny, you had a medical problem. Grab a chair, and we have some cushions for it.
Yeah.
If you want to pass one over.
What Johnny color X, was it?
We heard you had a medical problem.
Yeah.
Something about your anus bleeding that was keeping you up?
Yeah, I brought that with me.
Really?
That's so asinine.
Let's get all worried about you and stuff. Jeez.
We were very concerned.
We can watch that stuff later if you want.
You have like, video of it?
Like I said, yeah. Bring a chair.
Yeah,
you see video
that's
of the
disgusting.
Bleeding I thought you were into that.
No.
We are going to be more than happy to take our time. We have this room the entire night. So let's get to Drew. Introduce yourself and let's start kicking off with some questions or something.
You got one.
Let's get a great discussion going in this
room.
I'm
Pope Johnny X. I kind of helped start this panel and track programming, and Scott Jones does a wonderful job with it. And
hey, Scott.
Is Scott here?
No.
Scott was tired.
That's why I say yay, Scott.
Wait, he entrusted the room to us.
Yeah. Fool. Scary.
And Robert.
I'm currently the director of space and science programming, and brings like astronauts and people who build probes that go to Saturn and stuff.
Fiction.
And I need a chair.
I told you to bring a chair.
I've been involved with 2600 up in Nashville and here in Atlanta,
fiction.
And I start hacker conventions with my pals here. Although ultimately, the person to blame for all of this is this man right here. Because he started the Nashville 2600 meetings, which attracted the rest of us and was one of the founders.
Decius Rock.
Fiction.
All right. This is like, have we explained the rules of the game here?
Yes.
Have people overly asked questions yet?
Yes.
Yeah, and we're already past the first question of, can I have a beer? Okay. We already worked that out and explained
once,
it. Yeah,
right? Variants don't work either.
All right. All right, so let's get a question. Somebody,
please,
anybody.
Another question. Where's the mic? Right there, the back.
42 would be the answer to that question.
What's the mic? What's going on with that?
When does hacking actually? I heard her just fine.
We're sorry, folks. Right now we are experiencing technical difficulties.
I can
the very
hear you.
First
just
question
just,
is.
When does hacking actually, when is it legal? When does it become illegal?
When it breaks a law.
When does hacking become, when is hacking legal and when is hacking illegal?
That's a nice, great question because it kind of depends on what laws are being passed when. Yeah. Congress people not being very technologically savvy tend to pass some that are pretty stupid.
It kind of sucks that we have to preface the word hack. I mean, we have to follow up the word hacking with in the original non-criminal sense of the word, because hacking was originally just exploring complicated systems, learning how they worked, and God forbid you do not hurt or break anything. That's not the point.
Is there a victim is one of the questions. Was someone's life screwed up by what was done? That's one way of defining it.
Yeah, the whole first talk we gave was pretty much trying to answer that question, and it's a hard question, mainly because it's people who are passionate about technology, want to understand complex systems, and in particular, the part that touches the criminal element or is the part that needs to understand how to break systems. And the reason it touches the critical element is because we want to catch criminals, too. We're the ones that are worried about them. We're the ones that have to defend people from the criminals by understanding their technique. And that's... you know, my handles rattle for a reason.
We're the foxes guarding the hen house, but we're good foxes.
Let me throw something else in there. Perhaps there may be times when there's a difference between what is legal and what is illegal and what is ethical and what is unethical. And so it's a good idea in this scene to have a strong sense of what you think right and wrong is, and to, you know, speak out when you think things have crossed that line, but the legal-illegal line is not necessarily the same.
It's technically been illegal to say fuck on the internet, okay? And we took about, that one down.
I mean, there are some things that are obviously illegal. Like if I'm messing with someone else's bank balance, that's pretty much illegal. that one's an easy one.
However, let me say that almost everything you'd want to do that you would call hacking is almost illegal these days.
Hacking is about creating beauty with technology. That's what it's really about.
But even with, I would say that even with what you're talking about there, when you're talking about learning the systems, even as a professional securities person, you have to walk up to the particular company, especially in cases of some of the stuff I play with. I deal with USN programming. When somebody walks up and goes, please test this site out for us, I'm like, okay,
who are you?
All I have to do is have the wrong government agency while I'm looking at a big government agency site that I'm testing for the people that made it.
Yeah, you need like six levels.
Go, you did something wrong. I'm like, but I was allowed to.
Yeah, so you need six levels.
Document everything. Cover your ass.
CYA.
Without lawyers, I won't do.
Does that help explain as the person we asked? Okay, wait.
Yeah, one of the reasons we have to bind together in communities. Not
we'll
just
try
to share
not to keep answering
crap.
Questions
we,
that have already been answered.
We're spreading the blame around.
I'm on this one already. Sorry.
We're done. Actually, to help keep him from talking, when the answer is done, just nod your head a few times.
Do you want a beer, man?
So that we'll stop him talking. Okay, thank you.
Next question.
Right, next question.
Suppose I've found a web proxy owned by a spammer in Korea. What are some nifty ways to mess it up?
As long as
which Korea?
Now here's the fun thing. Here's the fun thing. Correct me if I'm wrong,
Korea.
But my understanding was that as long as you're not messing with things under your U.S. jurisdiction, as long as you're paying your internet connectivity fees, bills. And, you know, as long as you're not doing anything bad here or with anything that's under the control or administration of any U.S. company or organization, then they would have a really tough time. Well, it's not they would have a really tough time. It's just you're real low on the priority list to the point you really don't have to worry about it.
Counterpoint.
Okay,
When it comes to the internet, there's only one Korea, but okay, keep
on. No, you're right. That's true. So I've actually been there, so I want to take this question. The thing is that Koreans like Korean stuff, and it's a really complex cultural thing. Like they're kind of this country that's in between a lot of major world powers, and so they're very sort of earnest about their role, and they're very they buy local stuff. They like to buy Korean technology. There's a Korean Linux distribution, which at the time I was over there a few years back was consistently about 5 years behind what people were running in the U.S.
Basically, Red Hat 5.2.
Yeah, basically because they were porting the stuff and translating all of the text to Korean. And so the reason that there are so many computer security problems that you see coming out of there is for two reasons. First is they're the only country in Asia that has its own IP block that's contiguous for their country. And once again, they like Korean stuff. And they also have a lot of very insecure computers that are old. So chances are if you've got this spammer who's coming at you from Korea, he owns someone's system and you can probably own it too. However, if you piss people off, they will extradite you. So, I do not suggest hacking into anyone's computer, even if they're outside the United States. It can, in fact, create problems for you. But
getting caught.
My original counterpoint to what was said by the folks down here is the real right answer is to come up with some type of protocol, solution, or technology that sees that open proxies, like the specific one you were talking about, and everything like it cannot be used to harm other computers.
And while you're at it, world peace would be really awesome. So if you could figure that out for us, that'd be great. We'll give you a beer. Yeah.
And there's always going after the upstream.
Give him a beer.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, there are certainly, you could certainly contact the ISP, and depending upon the ISP, they may respond. The answer I got a lot in South Korea, and I don't mean to pick on them, but I got a lot of, I know there's an IRC running on IRC server running on my system, but my website is still up, and so I don't care. I'm sure that same sort of perspective exists elsewhere. It's like, well, I would have to do work in order to shut those guys down, and they're not affecting my operation, so whatever, let them use my web server as an IRC server or whatever they're doing. I don't know. There's some particular issues that relate to that particular country that make it a target that are unfortunate, I guess.
We had an opportunity to see the type of, and I don't mean see as in like sitting and sniffing packets, but just the type of general statistics gathering you do when you run an internet backbone. And we had a chance to see what some of the traffic in and out of Korea was looking like from a statistical level. And it displayed things that you don't really see anything else that go right along with what he's saying. They like Korean stuff in Korea. It was 95.5 in terms of stuff that went
almost no international traffic.
Yeah, and most of the international traffic we were theorizing was actually horizontal scans, and that is both in and out of the country.
Anyway,
did we answer the question?
Yeah, we answered the question. I think, did we?
Who asked?
You're in control.
Who asked?
He did. The guy next to.
And the mic is passed to Strick.
Do we answer the question fine? Okay, good.
Okay.
Next.
Did you get a beer for the question?
Yeah,
you got some beer. You got a beer. Come get a beer.
You sure?
All right.
That was a good question.
Get a beer.
A couple of years ago, Soylent was trying to figure out what the top websites in the world were. And there's a site, I think maybe named Alexis or something like that, that you can type in www.rotten.com or whatever. It'll come back and tell you you're the 1,123rd site.
Founded by the people who are the same guy who runs the Internet Archive. That's useful to know.
Yeah, okay. But he was having the hardest time figuring out who the top five were. You know, he's guessing, you know, CNN.com.
Great
and,
outfit,
and
by the way.
BBS. And, yeah.
You'd be
thanks, Alaka.
You look nice. That's good too. The act.net.
You look nice too, Alaka.
Give her a beer. Give her a beer.
So it turned out he finally figured out.
Get up here.
The secret to figuring out these top five is four of the top five were Korean sites, and they were like virtual pet sites.
Wow. Now, well, what's amazing? I want to riff on that.
More users or more hits? That's a good question.
Whatever it is they rate. I don't know what they rate.
Cool MySpace is bigger than Google now, I believe, depending on which way you want to drill your statistics.
Yeah, this was 2 years ago.
One of the cool things about Korea, there's two issues here. First of all, there's an argument that's being made in the United States about whether the U.S. government should be more aggressive about broadband deployment in the U.S., and that they're really not right now. They used to be. The Korean government is aggressive about broadband deployment, but they also have an advantage in that everyone in the country lives in the same city, and they have really big, dense buildings. So it's really cheap to run lots of bandwidth. I got a friend there who pays $20 a month for 100 megabit per second connection to the internet.
Where is this?
In South Korea, in Seoul.
Their network
and
kicks
they, and the reality is that if you watch some of the stuff, I mean, consider like, you know, these guys are in this environment for years where they've got that kind of bandwidth. And, you know, to be honest, I'll bet a lot of them are using it to download movies. But over time, they're going to develop interesting technology domestically that just doesn't work very well. You know, for us, that we wouldn't consider developing because we just don't have access to the resource. So, you know, stuff like those internet pets, you know, there may be sort of weird stuff that comes out of there that they develop that, you know, that is going to be ahead of the curve because of some of the technology that they have available to, you know, pretty much everyone in the country. So, anyway,
next
question.
Next.
A few minutes ago, one of you said the answer.
Wait.
Goes to the mic.
Oh, sorry. We'll get you next. Strick, do you want a beer?
Sure. Do we have two wireless mics? Because we're never going to get cross-discussion in the room.
Strick rocks.
All right, here's something that hasn't been addressed.
Ms. Dementia, I need you to make up a couple extra hours tomorrow so you get to open up Space and Science Room tomorrow morning.
Ooh.
What time is that?
Give her a beer at least for
what
that.
What time is that?
If you can be there at 9:45, that would be great. Hey, I do it myself.
When you say that.
I've got a 10 o'clock panel, too. Okay?
If you could come in on Saturday,
I've got a 10 o'clock panel here. Otherwise, I
should be there 1 minute early.
Just me or me and him?
Early.
Today's a regular
work
day.
Work it out between the two of you. So as long as one of
you
is there.
Guys, get a room. Get a room.
We got a room.
We do have a room.
Yeah. Oh, she'll get one. And you, Miss,
What did you work?
Oh!
What did you work? Did 7 hours Saturday?
7 hours?
Yeah, you owe me hours, babe.
No, I work 10 to 7. That's 9 hours if I work 2.
You are so lucky there's not a swimming pool near you right now.
I don't want to be 40.
I've already worked 40 fucking hours, all right?
This one.
I need some more. Can you do a couple hours on Monday?
I hate you guys.
Hey, can you guys negotiate this offline?
Skydog, can you throw him in a swimming pool, please?
Can you be in it, dude?
We need another
question.
We need a question.
Swimming pool, please?
Okay, what's your question?
Would you actually like the question?
What's your question to us?
You ask the question and you come get some beers.
The question is, do you think the current 911 legislature is legit as concerns to voice over IP, or do you think it's being sponsored by the Bells?
I can answer that.
You're talking about like Patriot Act stuff?
If we develop a technology we are going to rely on for communication, and there isn't some button that you can hit, the equivalent of a button, give me emergency personnel, we're fucking up as engineers. I kind of believe that. Now, whether or not the legislation, I haven't read it, I haven't looked it over, but I do think that should be a priority. Being able to, you know, dial 911 and get somebody local who can send an ambulance, we want that. We need that. We're screwing up as engineers if we don't have it, and our legislature is screwing up with what they're doing if they're putting out bills that facilitate us doing that in a way we can't do it. And, you know, sometimes when a bill gets through Congress, it's mush by the time it gets to the other end. It's pork-tasting mush. Yeah, well, we do need to have something like that. A 911 service saves lives, lots of them.
Well, okay, so there's a difference between – it's weird. There's a difference between VoIP, like I'm running Skype on my laptop, and VoIP, like – I'm talking about Vonage. You know, I'm connected to the plain old telephone system, and so I've actually got a centralized
I have to completely change the topic for just a second because Sherrard's getting ready to leave. Sherrard and his pal who left earlier, Travis, these guys have done T-shirt art for Freaknik for years and years and years. They have done some of the coolest hacker T-shirts ever made. There's an example of one done by one of their friends. Travis has left, so we'll just make fun of him. Sherrard delivers on time. His work is excellent. He is an extraordinary artist. He will do freelance work. I cannot recommend this man highly enough. Give him the URL for your website.
Sherrard Jackson.com.
The name is Sherrard Jackson.com. It's SHERARD Jackson.com. And
well, Jackson with a K, and we'll make sure we link to it.
Right, right. And if you just want to email me personally, that's locatesherrard@yahoo.com or at hotmail.com. I will get both of those.
Yeah. Information will be on the websites. Again,
Sherrard.
Artwork, if you need it, this man is available. I cannot recommend him enough, and he gets a beer. So sorry to change the topic there.
As a follow-up to 911.
Well, no.
Sorry.
So,
okay, go ahead.
Hey, we need those for alcohol.
All right, so there's a difference between sort of infrastructural VoIP and sort of, you know, uninfrastructural VoIP, and there's a couple of questions that get raised. You know, can you require somebody who's running software on their PC to be able to connect to 911? You know,
or give away their location.
Right. The other issue is that they usually want a location as well as the ability to connect to the phone. And they, you know, in the last few years, these cell phones will now locate you fairly well. And there's some questions about that. What if the FBI wants to locate you and you're not calling 911? They just want to locate you.
Or you're not even calling anybody. It's just, you know, broadcasting because it's telling you where it is.
You know, imagine if Abby Hoffman and the Yippies had all had cell phones.
Yeah, you know, we're not up here being just like, you know, anti-government paranoid people. I've personally am fighting a $300,000 lawsuit against Chase Manhattan over an identity theft issue. I don't give my social security number to anybody or show ID to anybody because that's how my case happened. It has nothing to do with the government, but yeah, there's people out there who will abuse information and who will abuse access, and some of them are in the government and some of them aren't. But there's lots of evil people out there.
So you are the government. We are the government. No. That's the way it's supposed to work. In the case of, like, the VoIP phones,
they is a lot
of and you know what? You have to fight to make things work the way they're supposed to work. When you see somebody getting screwed over for doing the right thing, you have to help that person and see that, you know, they're not getting screwed over. Like with the VoIP situation, if you dial 911 on your VoIP phone, at that point, I don't really have a problem with them knowing where I am. But, like, if they're going to know where I am all the time, then, you know, there's a different thing there. Like, when you dial your any cell phone, most people don't know this. When you dial 911, it kind of goes into a hold condition where it instead of just being able to, like, figure out where you are when they want to know, it sends more frequent updates. It broadcasts more often. So
did
you can do things.
Did we answer the question yet?
I think this is kind of important.
No, this
actually.
Is, okay.
This is actually kind of important. You see somebody getting kidnapped or something like that, take your phone, dial 911, throw it in the damn car. It's like a homing device.
There's a difference of whether you're giving your information versus somebody taking
it. Regularly. It might as well be real time.
There is one good thing about cell phones, though.
But you have to know how it works.
Any dead cell phone can call 911. It does not have to have, you know, be really activated.
1 minute and 30 seconds.
True. I got glass bottles this time.
If I could, if I could go ahead with my question.
Just don't hit me.
Okay,
I've got kind of a
sidetracked from what we were talking about before. You know, Korean stuff. Okay, no sidetrack. Well, I have a question about exploits and operating systems, and I've got sort of a twofold question. Will there ever be a Windows operating system that doesn't have exploits, buffer overruns?
No, it doesn't matter if you say Windows.
It doesn't
OS
matter
X
if it's
Linux.
Windows or whatever.
Well,
the first part of our answer is that a two-part question does not entitle you to a two-part beer.
That's okay.
You can split your one beer in half if you wish.
If a human can build it, a human can break it.
Hey, think about it this way. Why can you play games in a PDF file?
That's a good question.
There was actually a vulnerability found. Somebody actually programmed a very simple game in a PDF file that Adobe Acrobat played due to a vulnerability that, you know, nobody uses it, but it was there, and you can play this game if you get the right PDF file.
By the way, I've always had a little conspiracy theory that the flight simulator in Excel is what made the Enron people think they had an escape plan.
All right. Okay. So what's the second part?
Second part of the question is, will there ever be an operating system, any operating system, that will be entirely hacker-proof if the person running it...
Even if there is...
Let him finish! No, let him finish the question.
Then we can say no.
No, he had a stipulation.
If the person running it doesn't do anything stupid...
That's called not letting anybody else touch it.
Nobody's ever owned me, man.
Stupidity is the most common element in the universe. No,
I mean, if you can run systems today and be fairly confident about their security if you know what you're doing. You know, the reality is that security is, you know, absolute security is not attainable. Relative security is attainable. You know, if the CIA wants to nail you, they're going to nail you, all right? But, you know, if you want to keep the script kiddies out, you can definitely do that as long as you're careful and you understand, you know, what the risks are.
So the answer to your question is yes, as long as the user intervention includes installing it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, security is risk management. Sir.
Worth a beer.
Does he get a beer?
Yeah, give him.
Yeah, he gets a beer.
Until we have a shortage of beers, everybody gets a beer.
Come on, I haven't even asked yet.
Where's the dad's
question? This. All right. Do you still have a question? All right. Hey man, can you get him? Can you get him next? Because he raised his hand a long time before. You can go ahead and answer your question, but after you're done, ask him. Whatever. Hey, I'm drinking here. Ask your question, but next guy is him because he has.
Quick comment. Apparently, this may not have been mentioned. You know, if you ask a good question, you get a beer. However, if you ask a bad question, well, you also get a beer, but what you get is this, and it's served overhand, and you will have to drink it all.
Before leaving.
On the upside, it will help your concussion.
Slightly.
Okay. I have another operating system question. I tried Red Hat 6 a few years back, just kind of played a little with it.
I'm sorry.
I want to jump back into Linux now, and I want some opinions here. Red Hat, Debian, and what's the difference between them and BSD?
I know.
Free BSD. Open BSD if you want to be secure.
No, that is good advice in some
Dragonfly BSD if you want to be cutting edge.
What exactly are you trying to do with Linux? I mean, are you trying to use it as a desktop, you know, scientific?
I'm thinking about getting Apache up and running, maybe set up my own email.
Is there any BSD variant that wasn't the product of an argument?
Write your own OS.
Okay. But I hate C.
You know what? Don't get committed to any one thing the second you install it. That's probably actually the best answer if you want to learn over the long term. Because if you know what you want to do, but you don't know what's best for it, ask some opinions about, like, and the top two things that somebody recommends. Try them both before you make a decision. Fedora isn't a bad way to go if you're doing
BSD
desktop.
In Windows, you'll like
play with stuff.
If you're
that's it. I mean, seriously,
hand,
if you're extra like machine. Building, try a distribution of the week and see what you like.
I want an opinion.
Grab yourself a removable hard drive and a couple of cartridges for it, and just have fun.
Different operating.
Get on Emule and download, you know, VMware and do virtual machines.
Good.
Play with them that way. You know, if you like VMware, like then go ahead and buy it. Actually,
if you want to basically compile things all the time and learn all about system interdependencies and stuff like that, and like look at it from the perspective of just pure source, Gen 2 is kind of neat for that.
Yeah, just don't run it in production, please.
Yes, don't. If you're trying to do a hardcore, high reliability production situation where you want to have the complete ownership over your code base and you're not too concerned about being behind the curve, Debian can be real good.
And if you want to try something jaw-droppingly, mind-numbingly bad, I can send you disk images for Microsoft Bob. Oh, my God. That is the most fucking hilarious thing I have played with in a long time.
If you have money to throw at the problem, a lot of the commercial ones, like Red Hat's Enterprise stuff and SUSE's Enterprise stuff is good.
Different operating systems have different...
It's a very diverse space.
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
Different operating systems
have... No, you can't.
Different operating systems have different advantages and disadvantages. Debian has a great package management system. Red Hat has a big company behind it. You know, Gen 2 has bleeding edge source to the point where they ship vulnerabilities that no one else ever shipped. You know, OpenBSD has some really awesome security features and, you know, a crazy man running it. FreeBSD, you know, is kind of interesting too. NetBSD is where everyone does their IP stack development. You know, there's a lot of... Each one has its own uses and its own community and its own advantages and disadvantages. And the question is, what do you
Amix.
Need?
Amix. Amiga what? Unix.
Yeah, no.
OS X.
Wait. Has anyone found an OS X cosplay girl at this con?
Next year.
I want to find an OS X cosplay girl.
I'll do it for you next year.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Which OS do you want her to be?
OS X cosplay.
I want her to be OpenBSD, but I don't think they have an OS X for OpenBSD. It's probably going to have to be Windows 95 or something.
Hey!
Does he get a beard?
Don't take
beer?
It personal.
No beer. Beer?
Beer's good. Beer's good. That's a great
beer.
Question.
Yeah, asking beer. Which Linux distro is like.
No, no, no.
Hey,
this guy's next. This guy's next.
Hey, Scott. You're supposed to be in bed.
No, no. Him. He's next.
Okay, you're supposed to be in bed, Scott. Go
Who's?
Away.
Alone.
Everyone give Scott a round of applause. Thank you, Scott. We wish to thank Mr. Jones and toast him for putting up with our bullshit for years.
Give him a bear. Give him a bear.
We got a lot of bullshit.
I'd like to point out that I originally raised my hand before
wait,
the light
hey,
beer
Scott,
was brought on the table.
I fucking hate the Hyatt. Can we get you to move over to the Marriott next year?
They'd shut it off.
Yeah.
They got little stickers, but they don't have internet.
I've had many, many, many requests, and you probably have too, to have EFF, Space and Science, and Robotics all in one place. I like the Marriott a lot better than the Hyatt. Can we possibly convince you to move over to the Marriott if we can get you a room that's the same size or even bigger? Cool.
We'll talk. We'll have lunch. We'll do lunch.
This should be next to the science track.
My people will call you. They'll do lunch, yeah, and we'll talk about this while they're doing lunch.
Move on. Question.
Yeah, earlier, one of you said that the answer is 42. I'd like to know what the question is.
Well, the original question was,
what is 6 times 9?
Yeah, but they found out that, well, you know, the machine that the was wrong. No, the original one.
There was a bottle opener up here.
Yeah, but we lose it. We lost it.
Okay, guys.
Next. Yeah. So,
raise your hand.
Point it.
Yeah, this guy.
Okay, that guy. Point the mic at somebody who has a need for beer.
I always have a need for beer, however.
Okay.
A little bit ago, we brought up the question of the reaction of 9/11 and dealing with the legal structures. Are you guys familiar with
the date or the telecommunication service?
More of the not the telecommunication and the reaction network for emergency systems.
Okay.
Dealing with an event such as that where a group of people external to our country attack us. You guys are probably familiar with
Is there like a car crash going on in this room? Sorry. It's really slow. Okay, all right, sorry. Go ahead.
You guys familiar with the Federation of American Scientists?
Yes.
With the groups that are actively working for progress and declassifying information for the average public use. However, in a community of hackers, having the abilities to sometimes peer beyond what the average system would want us to see, and then we get attacked by something. At what point does our knowledge become our responsibility to then react to that?
Let me answer that question with something completely off topic. If anyone will go grab us a couple of limes and a salt shaker and a knife to cut the limes, you'll get a couple of beers and a scotch.
Two quotes from
and if you could turn off his mic, that'd be great.
Yeah!
No, two quotes.
It's a shared mic.
Okay, I'm not
going
to say anything.
How about this? As a quick poll, as an answer, how many people in this room think the financial industry of the U.S. and the world is actually safe? Okay. Now, what happens?
It's insured.
Well, it's insured, but what about all the people that have over $100,000? There's quite a few, or there's a lot. What happens if all of a sudden all the numbers go
over 100,000? People in this crowd, over 100,000. How many people here in this crowd have over $100,000?
How about the people who like own a apartment complex?
Two people here, but they're cool, and we like them. The rest of them, fuck them.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Everything's insured. What happens if all of a sudden you're up at a restaurant?
Oh, wait a minute. The two people who have over $100,000, you guys are buying all the pizzas at midnight. Yeah.
If 5 million credit cards all of a sudden, you know, with all the stuff with BJ's Wholesale, everybody's credit cards had to get canceled. That was hellacious for the financial institution I was working with at the time. Think of what would happen if that was multiplied to, you know, 50 million or 100 million people worldwide. All of a sudden, they can't buy anything. You had a restaurant. You know, that's actually not that hard to do.
I actually got stuck in another city, couldn't rent a car, and couldn't check into my hotel because my bank had a compromise and had to cancel my card without calling me. So it can be very, very inconvenient.
Many large organizations.
Think about it this way.
No, that was 30,000 customers at once.
Right.
Which also meant that they couldn't answer my phone call.
Navy Federal had the same instances. Mm-hmm. Bank of America, the particular institutions you have worked with and you've worked with, those are their attacks upon specific fiscal networks, but I'm talking about you take an instance where a group decides to come after the country or the place where we happen to live, and through their own instance, either by what we call modern day terrorism or the attack, we have the abilities as hackers to attack their systems. If we look at an idea of what
you're talking about, attacking Al Qaeda.
Basically, it happens
already. Every time Al Qaeda puts up a website, somebody attacks it and tries to take it down.
Right, but the individuals attack it.
So it sounds like you're talking about a distributed infrastructure attack.
You're you're looking for some type of philosophical statement as to whether or not we should do things of our own volition or figure out a way to plan with our government or whatever. Should you do something to defend your country? Hell yes. Should you just shoot from the cuff and do something that you can do at any given point? No, you don't necessarily.
I mean, I'm sure that the United States government would say that yes, but you should do it under our control. They don't like people going down to New Orleans and operating their own rescue operations because it just contributes to the chaos. Right. They want people who are smart to help them do this kind of stuff, and they definitely do it. And so if that's what you're motivated to do, I'm sure that they've got a job for you. But I mean, the question you got to, you know, I mean, there are maybe some political debates about that. This way or the other way, but the reality is that I'm sure they wouldn't encourage you to do it on your own.
For the folks who just walked into the room, like within the last 5 minutes, the way this works, if you ask a good question, we give you a beer. This is Stump the Hackers, and if we're done over here, this guy has been very patiently waiting to ask a question.
Next. Well, much like terrorist groups, one lone nut can do so much. A group of people colluding together to do some type of attack can do a lot more. At that point, you start to fit the definition of terrorist yourselves.
I have a question more for Alanka here, is it?
Alanka!
Do you guys know like what the Waste server is?
Yeah, give him...
We should talk about this question some more later.
Encrypted network...
Waste?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Waste?
Yeah.
Wow!
Whoa.
Oh, yeah! But I've been using that in Tor, the onion router.
Oh, Tor!
Good
for you.
Is it Privacy or Privoxy, whatever that?
Privoxy, yeah.
You got to use that for the DNS shit. But
yeah.
Do you see, like, I kind of thought when it came out that would get real popular, and it hasn't really grown at all. Is that like, I don't think it's an issue of the encryption.
Can I take that? However you want to take that. People don't perceive the threat. I mean, when I refuse to show my ID to do a transaction at Best Buy, people still look at me like I'm a conspiracy nut because it hasn't, you know, people's privacy hasn't been violated enough for it to be a big threat.
That's what it boils down to.
It's also too hard to set up for the average user,
I think. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Some of them aren't. I don't drink at all, so I'm clueless. Legend water.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a paper on what they did and like what they learned some lessons from Freedom. But yeah, they kind of said, well, we didn't like this feature that provided us the security, so we just tossed it away, and we don't have a solution for this problem right now. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
The second a real need arises for Tor, it's in a lot of clients right now. It's something that people can just start turning on. I know I've seen it in several BitTorrent clients. So when everybody, hey, everybody, we got a major problem. People are coming to look for you. It's time to start sacrificing a little bit of bandwidth.
The question is, when is the shit going to hit the fan to the point where people are largely motivated to do this kind of thing? So, what was the comment that came from here? I had a response to it.
Ease of use.
Oh, ease of use in PGP. The people that run PGP are very concerned about that issue. They talk about it all the time. One of the things they're concerned about is the fact that when you digitally sign something, you can't repudiate it later. And usually that's not what you're looking for from email. You don't want your email to be, for the rest of time, it can be proven in court that you wrote that email. You know, you usually just want your friends to be able to have some relative assurance that you wrote it. And so they're trying to develop systems that are, to a certain degree, less secure or less reliable than what they have so that, you know, you could just start signing emails and you don't have to be so concerned that, like, 4 years later, they can prove that you wrote it. There's an interesting paper called what is the paper? There's a paper about creating deniability in instant messaging systems where it's not zero knowledge proofs. I don't remember the terminology. Yeah, off the record messaging. That's the paper. Yeah. Ian Goldberg is a badass. But it basically the idea is that you encrypt your you encrypt and sign your Jesus. You encrypt and You encrypt and sign like each instant message that you send, and then the next message that you send, you reveal the key that you used to sign the previous message. And so the person that you're communicating with knows that it's you, but anyone who's looking at the stream could easily create the keys and reproduce a stream and claim that you'd signed it. And so like later on in court, they can't really prove anything.
But along that same vein, you're dealing with before there was the rumor that the NSA was using supercomputers to watch and monitor all voice traffic and all IP traffic for various types of structures. When they're doing those monitorings, though, there was a test that was done. People put together a 1 gig object that crammed together all the various types of compression algorithms. And then they sent it to Circle, standard courier structure, with the 50 words that were the top 50 words that they searched for. About a week later, the NSA came up in the news that the supercomputers fell down.
There's a degree to which there's human hacks.
Correlation is not causation, but I don't know what the NSA does, and there's a reason for that.
Be a very deep story there. There's also a such thing as human hacks. If you want to catch somebody who's doing something wrong, and you release, hey, they're looking for this, and people change their habits, you can zoom in on the people that change their habits. That's a blatant information warfare technique. So that is one of those situations. I know when the echelon keywords, and yeah, everybody was doing that. Is what we heard totally the truth, or did they start looking for people who changed their habits, or did they go, oh, these were the people who sent the words. These are just the libertarians. These are the people who changed the habits. And that's assuming they had complete view of what was going on, which I don't really necessarily think they did. I think they sampled. Anybody who's tried to actually, yeah, you can't it gets easier all the time, but anybody who sat on top of a major network knows, just to get statistics about what the hell is going on, you have to jump through major freaking hoops.
It's way more likely that they have the ability to listen to any call.
NetFlow?
They have the ability to listen to any call, but they don't listen to all of them. Because the cost associated with that is seriously prohibitive.
China's writing the book on censoring and things like that.
What do you want?
If there's any place that really knows a whole lot about that, it's there. But really, you get my point.
All right, got a question for you.
Coke over there.
So for peer-to-peer right now, you know, like this gentleman was talking about with Tor, I'm over here.
Awesome. This guy gets a round of
applause. Oh.
Unfortunately, Drew left after he made this request, but I'm going to take one of these limes. What are you doing?
Send me down one of those in a Corona.
That's awesome.
So back to this guy was talking about with peer-to-peer. Right now, with peer-to-peer, he was talking about with the Onion Router network with Tor. But that came out for a good anonymous peer-to-peer type network, but it's not designed for peer-to-peer file sharing. Is there a peer-to-peer file sharing out there that has anonymous stuff similar to Tor?
Why would you want something specifically designed for peer-to-peer file sharing when then
because
they
he
would
wants
have
the
something you could zoom
he
in?
Wants
in.
He wants
anonymous.
He doesn't want to get busted.
He's like asking for anonymous identification.
Right. Anonymous identification and file sharing.
Look at Freenet.
No, I want to talk. Freenet is an excellent example. The reality is that that Napster. Maybe closed now. I don't know. The reality is that Napster was a really naive idea, and what's amazing about it is that if me and my buddies got together and we set up an FTP site with a central directory where you could download MP3s, the FBI would come and take us away. But if we incorporated it and came up with a brand, and you know it got really popular and it became one of the top brands in the United States, we would walk away with several million dollars. It's really crazy. I mean, these guys were running a big wares network, and they major got away with it. They got rich. And, I mean, ultimately it got shut down and converted to something else, but it's just a really weird observation about how things work in our society. If you do it as a company and you establish it and you claim you're serious about it, you know, and it's legitimate, people will believe it's legitimate and it'll be dealt with as if it was. But, you know, you're right. There's a lot of sophistication that you could build into those networks that we don't have right now.
That crew moved on to a good thing next, copyright database. Useful.
There's not a real good anonymous file sharing out there right now. I mean, you know, you have a lot of these different networks, peer-to-peer, out there, but there's not a real good. But Usenet.
Let me give you a good pointer to start searching for. Have you ever heard of the Eternity service? Google Eternity Service. There's this guy at Cambridge. His name is Ross Anderson, who's a brilliant computer scientist, and he wrote a paper years ago called the Eternity Service. Essentially, the idea is that if you had this piece of information and you wanted to keep it from getting censored, you put it up on the web, someone could shut down your website. How could you build an infrastructure that could keep information on the internet and keep it alive despite infinite resources in terms of your attacker who's trying to censor it? And a lot of the projects that came out of that paper, are interesting in terms of the sort of serious security that you're talking about. I think there's more work that needs to be done in that space, but it's a place to start looking.
How did it work?
Does he get a beer? Beer, yes, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of beer, the commander that brought us the limes, thank you. Make sure you get yours.
I asked for a Corona and a lime, and it still hasn't worked its way down here yet. Let me just reiterate one point I was trying to make.
Don't forget to open it.
No. The internet works because it's a stupid network. It's a stupid network, and we build things on top of it. If you want a way to keep traffic anonymous, come up with a way to keep traffic anonymous for as much traffic as humanly possible. If you come up with a way to keep peer-to-peer anonymous, the second somebody has a real good case for, hey, the only time you want to – or not a real good case, a weak case that can be sold easily. Like, anybody who wants to keep peer-to-peer traffic anonymous is doing something wrong, so we're going to turn that off.
They're
going
to bust everyone who's running it. They're going to be able to know that you're running it, so you have to have a lot of traffic there that's legitimate so you can make an argument that,
And it's not just an argument. There should be a lot of legitimate traffic using it. There should be. If you develop a technology, and that's one of the findings from MGM Grokster that the Supreme Court the last time around very accurately put. If you design something and it's all about infringing uses, it's all about infringing uses. If you design something, the first things that you want using it is the same stuff that would use something else. It's because when we're doing something right in terms of development, we're looking at something that was there before and we're building something that is a hell of a lot better right next to it, and we're going to move over.
If you ship all of Usenet across the next peer-to-peer, there's no way any illegitimate traffic would even make a blip on it.
Thank you.
You can hide easier in a city than you can out in the woods.
And the only reason we're concerned with illegitimate traffic is because we don't want to lose the freedoms that we have. That's a key thing, too. If the discussion starts turning to how the hell do we pirate things, we're probably fucking up. And that's what we were talking about before, that ethics should really be a part of these discussions at every level.
All right, next question.
The recent computer worm debacle showed that there are definitely some weaknesses within the media networking.
CNN's teleprompter was infected with a worm. It was connected somehow to the internet.
Well, I work in mass media. Every computer is usually connected to the same network all the way down to Scripps and Chiron and all the different things.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even subnet.
What could be the implications as far as, moving the social hacking into that?
I have a question. Why do you think Bank of America's ATM shut down? All of Diebold's ATMs won Windows XP embedded with no firewall.
And the worm got in their network?
Yeah, they got in their network because all the ATMs exist on the bank's network.
If the worm got in the network, so can I, in which case pretty much anything you can imagine is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who's on the air, look, the reality is that the worm got in there and it gets back to me and it says, okay, what do you want me to do? And I say, okay, this is what I want you to do.
Show of hands, who is watching CNN?
They're usually firewalled for inbound traffic, but not for outbound.
In theory, what I could do,
if I really knew that thing was there and it was connected in that way, and if I have a way of it knowing that it's on the system, then I pre-program it with instructions.
If you know the system and pre-program
I mean, you're right. I mean, it's not super likely to happen, but it's possible. And so it opens the realm of speculation about, different scenarios. And we are at a science fiction conference. And so I can say that it's possible to accomplish that. And someone in this room can go out and write a very interesting book about it. And, ultimately, they're not completely crazy. But you're right. You're right. No, I mean, the reality, he's making some very valid points, and you deserve a beer.
So do you.
The reality is that... You know, the reality is that you know there are worms have an ability to fit into cracks and crevices that are very difficult for more sophisticated things to fit into.
They expose bad network design a lot.
Think about what I said earlier. How secure is the financial industry?
But worms
have in the past Blaster leaked into ATM networks and killed ATM machines. All right, anybody knows about the way you segment off networks.
The thing that bothers me is we know that's happened twice. So I do know that ATMs are running this software. The next time I might target them.
Here's another thing: how many people think Diebold patches Windows XP embedded?
Which one you're wargaming, please?
What?
Rob.Georgia.
I'm not.
Might target them. That's an assertive language.
Okay, yeah.
Look where you work.
I'm being facetious.
Do you mean the patch named Rob.Georgia?
I think that it turned out that there was some guy named Rob who was supposed to download that thing or something.
You believe that?
I don't know if I do. So how about you guys know about the voting machine drama, right? There's a lot of questions about the fact that they're moving to computerized voting, and they're doing it because they can build user interfaces that are easier to use than punch card systems and the like. But the problem is that you have a very complex piece of electronics that's easy to hide stuff in, and it's responsible for tabulating votes. And the other thing is that you have this government bureaucracy that is responsible for building a secure computer network upon which votes are tabulated. So there are a lot of problems with this, and it's a very involved discussion that I don't necessarily want to get into in too much detail. But yeah, it's probably possible to manipulate elections with some amount of computer security knowledge. And there's a lot of people who are very concerned about that, and then there's a lot of government bureaucrats who are interested in defending purchase decisions that they made. And so it's become very difficult to get people to understand what they need to do in order to run the stuff properly, and it's a big frickin' mess.
I think we should all follow Las Vegas and do everything as strictly as they run casinos.
They have some very serious regulations for the operation of slot machines.
That's
but then again,
on one hand, look at the
let the mob
Vegas
run our elections.
You're right.
If everything ran like Vegas, like Big Brother is full.
Don't operate under the assumption that those slot machines aren't on an Ethernet network either, because they are.
Security and monitoring what happens and everything like that, and just checking and keeping logs of what changes.
Well, part of this also, it ties into the problems with monoculture. For these voting machines, we should have
Windows CE
running them with public statistics that we can compare to look for discretion between them.
So you're talking about the CNN teleprompter reminds me of an attack that I've been trying to get somebody to do for about a year now. And we've given this the name a bunny slam.
So you're looking for a patsy?
I totally want to do it myself. I was at CodeCon back in February, and if I had researched who was giving a talk on what well enough, I could have done a couple of them. And it has to do when somebody's giving like a demonstration with live data. And so there was a talk at CodeCon by a guy who had written some code that you could give it the name of a city or something, and it would go. No, what was it? You give it a topic, and it shows you a map of the United States and pictures off of Flickr, but positioned by where they are.
That's awesome. Or whatever. I really like that.
And I wanted to get it so that – and he asked everybody to live, in the audience with all their apples. Everybody's got fucking apples these days in the hacker
community.
Oh, yeah,
dude. It's the best Unix workstation.
So,
Apple has done for the workstation environment.
He asked people to upload pictures to Flickr and put the tag CodeCon on them. And sure enough, this one spot south of Market in San Francisco starts piling up with little images. Well, I had wanted to do one so that when he said CodeCon and everybody goes to the Flickr and looks for CodeCon, we had already spelled out the word yak across the United States.
That's a good idea.
It's like a Easter egg sort of, but we call it a bunny slam. Another place to do it, Greg Conte likes to talk about visualizing network traffic. Well, I want to know exactly what tool he's running and what traffic he's going to be showing and sending enough fake traffic into his thing to spell out things in his graphs. So this is a challenge for people's
That's a form of art, Strick. I'd like to just point out what you're talking about there. That's a great example of a hack. That's a great example of hacking. That is a form of art.
There's a program called NetStumbler that lets you look at Wi-Fi networks, and someone wrote a program that changes it becomes a Wi-Fi network, it becomes a Wi-Fi hub, and it changes the SSID on the hub over and over and over again, so each line is a line, each SSID is a line in an image. So someone who's running SSI or running NetStumbler actually sees the image scroll down their screen.
That's like what people used to do in Usenet groups when they
Yeah.
AT&T
Death Star. Yeah. Okay, so next question.
Next.
All right, I got one. We're all talking about security protocols and developing something new to help ensure the integrity of our data and engineering good systems. But the fact of the matter is somebody's always going to break them, especially like we talk about Korea, we talk about Russia. I'm tired of writing IP chains blacklists of all the goddamn networks.
Well, then why the hell aren't you using IP tables for one?
Let's just start right there. Tables, chains, I mean, come on. Chains evolved into tables. We all know this.
ACL lists. Yeah, it's all broken.
Old school. Whatever. But what do you think about, all right, people are using open proxies anyway.
I think reputation systems are the answer. Would anybody like
I like that idea.
Let him finish his question.
I like that idea. But since people are always able to jump on open proxies, what do you think about ideas that the government's going to start cracking down on open proxies? Everybody's countries. And, in fact, there's going to be no privacy internet whatsoever. In fact, with IPv6, you stand a very good chance of getting assigned an identifying number that cannot be translated to anybody else that is with you for the rest of your life.
I think the politicians have to figure out how to do it.
Do you want to be identified?
Let
from
me give you a counterpoint
forward?
To that. Which I don't know if there's a particular individual who might have been here. I don't think he is. So the USB protocol allows me to completely take control of the computer that that the thing is plugged into, because the Windows will ask the USB. It says, what kind of driver do you need? Yeah. And the USB device says, I need XYZ driver that you've never heard of before. And Windows says, oh, so I don't have that driver. Do you have it? And the USB device says, yeah, here's the driver. And Windows says, okay, I'll go ahead and install it and run it as administrator. So you can pretty much plug these things into computers and do whatever you want.
You can boot in small Linux.
If I can make one of these into a proxy server, and I can make about 3,000 of them and distribute it at cons like this, I win. I don't think that they're ever going to be able to take open proxy servers off the internet. That's what it boils down to. They can try to make it illegal, but they also, I mean, it's not legal to trade MP3 files on the internet. There's all kinds of people doing that. You know, I think that the long term is that as the individual, there will be things available to you. The real question is, you know, what is grandma doing something to protect her privacy, and can we build something that she would be motivated to use?
And for one to throw another thing into that, two things. One ties directly into what he was saying before. Secure computers, secure networks, it's an illusion. There's always going to be problems. You just assume it. Second, there are situations where we want open proxies. We had a discussion recently at Blog Nashville at a roundtable at the Vanderbilt Center one of the fellows there was building a proxy server that would allow people in China to bypass the firewall of China. And me and Tom were pointing out to him, here are flaws in your program. They have the capability of catching immediately everybody who uses it and seeing what websites they visit. Your lack of documentation can kill people. All right? Try to create an open proxy server that actually gets around those situations, and it's useful. So do we really want to remove that particular thing from the internet? If our goal is truly the freedom of information, as in freedom, not free beer, which we're handing out like a motherfucker. But seriously, there's a certain degree to which we want the network to be stupid. We want the things that connect to the network to be smart. You know, the thing that connects to the network that you plug that USB adapter into is definitely pretty damn stupid. But that's another story.
Here's the thing about open proxies. How many of you live in an apartment complex or dense subdivision where you can open up your laptop and there's lots of open APs around?
I think that the most I ever found was something like 10 of them at once. I just started jumping from one to the next and just doing shit on each one.
None of them are open.
Move.
I have the opposite problem. My frequencies are so full you can't use any.
Dude, if they're only using WEP, I mean, what's the problem?
All I know is that I actually increase the efficiency of one of them for them. Okay, this isn't so much a question as much as I'd like to get your opinion on something. My friend was in the Army. He was at basic training, and him and somebody else had brought their laptop, and they actually set up a wireless network there. And they had actually put in encryption and stuff, and they had tried to block websites because, you know, the whole military thing, military secrets getting leaked. Well, that ended up happening anyways. The person who actually leaked the military secrets onto a Yahoo message board was sent to a military...
Is he in a small cell that nobody knows exactly where it is?
The person who leaked the secrets are? Yes. The person that my friend had set up the network with is also in military prison, and my friend managed not to get sent there. Basically, he went AWOL for about 3 months.
You need to clean this data center with a toothbrush.
Any mention of the word prison is going to freak me out.
But basically, my friend went AWOL for about 3 months. He got everything straightened away with the military to where he just had to go to military prison for a month because they viewed him as a flight risk.
Just a month.
Well, they viewed him as a flight risk after going AWOL for 3 months.
Well, yeah, that's reasonable.
But basically, my opinion is, do you think my friend should actually be held accountable for the fact that those secrets were put out on the net? Or not.
Okay, I mean, especially if you're in a environment with the military and it's an operational environment, right? Every person in the chain that you deal with should be taking the security of the whole very freaking seriously. There is a degree to which everybody needs to be watching each other's back. You have to, because people make mistakes. And it sounds like here, several people made mistakes.
Well, the other thing is that, like, don't build network infrastructure, like, without permission of your employer
unless,
at your job.
Was it like Abu Ghraib photos?
Because you'll get
like
nailed
a
for that, one way or the other.
Because if it was a failure IT, of the whole that needed to be exposed, then maybe.
There's this term called bastard operator from hell.
Yeah, that's ethics.
Yeah. All right. And many of the people in the room here may be, in fact, bastard operators from hell.
No.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Basically, if this person had not leaked those military secrets, all that my friend would have gotten was basically in trouble for about 2 weeks where he'd have to, like, fucking clean the latrines.
There's this other thing in the law where, like, actual success at or the actual impact of what you're doing affects like how much in trouble you get into. Like if I go up to the White House with a Nerf bat and I start beating the crap out of the White House with it, but I'm crazy and I think that I'm going to smash the United States government with my Nerf bat, I'm actually not going to get in that much trouble. But someone with the exact same intent who smashes the White House with a more effective weapon is going to get in a lot of trouble. And so there's this thing where, like, you know, the amount of success you actually achieve relates to, you know, how much trouble you get into. And so, you know, if you run a Wi-Fi network and nothing happens, and it's probably not a big deal. If you run a Wi-Fi network and someone else leaks secrets over it, you're probably going to get in trouble because it is a big deal to somebody. People got killed? That sucks.
Let me put it this way.
That's really bad.
Integrity of systems like military systems and hospital systems where people can die from your actions.
Dude.
You know, that deserves getting, you know,
you should
a long
be
time
very
going
careful
away.
With that, and I feel sorry for your friends who are having to deal with that. That, you know,
my friend has no penalties at this point.
Do you think he should? I would hope that your friend wouldn't be very unhappy with himself for having, like, contributed to that.
Did he violate?
If he didn't intentionally contribute to the problem, then, you know, I wouldn't hold him liable, except that I'd fire him for setting up a Wi-Fi network on my on his employer without permission. It may be the government.
I'd kind of love to
the government
hear the
has a tendency. It's a felony to speed on military bases.
It sounds really.
They have a tendency to just escalate things.
But
basically, the way things stand right now is that at this point, he's technically not out of the military until he gets discharge papers, and about 3 months later, if he wants, he can go back in.
Keep in mind also that this is probably under the jurisdiction of the. I just went blank on what it's called. Thank you. Yes, Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is substantially different than the civil and criminal system in the civilian world. You don't really have rights. I know people who have had DUIs in the military, and, you know, they get prosecuted for crazy things They get prosecuted for crazy things like abuse of government property for getting too drunk.
And he's not the guy
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it is different.
Treason requires intent. Negligence can kill people and have the same effects. All right? All right, let me just repeat that because I think I caught this in a sentence I like. Treason requires intent, but negligence can have the same damn effects. Yep. And that is really uncool. As I said before, if you are in a operational environment where security is an issue and people's lives are on the line, everybody needs to check each other's back, period. All right? If you're walking, think of it like you're soldiers walking through a hostile area. You need to watch your other soldiers, and you need to make sure, like, two of you are looking around and two of you are, like, focusing on whatever you arrange it. I got off somebody really fucked up, and I'd love to hear the details on this, but I'd like to switch to something else because we can get lost in this all night.
Keyboards.
All right. Probably talking about this, but anything might be recorded
sometime later. Yeah, sometime later when it's not on tape, it sounds fucked up. When fucked up things happen, we have to learn from them. But let's move on to another question. We can get mired in this all night. We've been here for about 5-7 minutes. You go. Here, give him a beer. Just because he brought up something intentional, don't give your beer to
Rattle wants to move on now. Really?
I feel this hum.
All right, come on.
All right.
It's like one of these flash mob kind of things, right?
The whole goddamn panel is abandoning me. Look, I need to take a piss too. Okay? I know that's what it is.
We'll keep the beer going.
Can we give a beer to everyone that's humming, please?
No, we need a panel here. I'm still here. Everybody left.
All right.
All right,
It's been touched upon like two or three times already a little bit, but do you think China will ever be able to fully filter and firewall off the internet?
No.
And
no.
Fully
what do you think about
what do you think about these
American companies that help them build this
infrastructure? Anyone wants a beer that was humming? Come on.
Oh, like Cisco? Oh, like everybody who wants to sell to the world's fastest growing economy? I think there's a degree to which I can see this. I can argue this one on both sides, actually. And it's kind of easy to. On one hand,
no, they were humming.
When you're talking,
yeah.
All right. When you're talking about conflicts in ideology that occur between major nation states, sometimes, almost always, unless lots of people are going to die because of it, you want to see this shit play out. You want to see it play out. I want to see over the course of a decade or two. Maybe more, or whatever, China fall on its face trying to censor the internet. And maybe not fall on its face by people bypassing it as much as fall on its face about missing the things that happen when you don't censor the internet. I mean, if you want to look at some of the great battles that have occurred between nation states over time, the Cold War, one of the things the main thing that won the Cold War was our openness, right? If you want to look at like a Cold War U.S. situation and then moving over to a China-U.S. situation, in terms of ideologies, we still want to see the people who control things fail, and we want to see the open markets and the open economic marketplace of ideas. The marketplace of ideas, we want to see that be open, all right? We need to win that by winning it. On one hand, Cisco lets people implement their equipment in ways that can lead to censorship. As long as our country isn't censoring us, we should maybe let China do what they're going to do and let them fail and learn from that.
I still think it's legitimate to ask questions of your vendors if your vendors are out there supporting this. You know, if my vendor was out there supporting Al Qaeda, I don't know if I'd buy their product.
You vote with your dollars.
You know, I don't think it's reasonable to be doing business with companies that are. I mean, to the degree that you can, it's a question I'd ask my sales guy. You might not make a decision to build your network with their equipment or without their equipment, depending upon their position on Chinese censorship. But you ask your sales guy, it at least creates some noise for them. You know, where it gets. It goes back to their marketing people that this is kind of a problem, you know?
Here, Tom, this is uncomfortable for you. Talk about Cisco.
No, I'm not going to talk about Cisco.
We have White Russians. We have Bacardi. We have...
Somebody ask Alonka a question, please.
Get her in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the fourth panel of cryptos?
What is the first rule of acquisition?
Hey. Question not with the mic.
There you go.
Not really a question, so much
valid question for Dragon
stuff
Con.
I know about. I live in Florida, and I set up networks, and I install the voice over IP cable stuff, and also deal with some of the setting up networks in Florida. So voting machines in Florida, serial port, side of the machine, little panel pops off, person with a jacket. Can shut down one of those machines, insert whatever pretty much they want via serial port, and the whole machine just gone along with all votes they're in. Voice over IP. If you live in Florida or if you use Brightout's networks,
if we had paper ballots, I could drop a match in the box and destroy all the ballots too.
Well, yeah. But if you use Brighthouse networks anywhere on Brighthouse networks. They have the IP identification, so...
No, man. It'll take them a while to notice the smoke coming out of the box.
This is about voice over IP and related service, not e-voting.
I think most of those voters are already dead anyway.
yes and no. I mean,
we're just setting
it in
chaos, which is good. That's what we intend.
And nobody's forced me to do anything. that only applies to carriers.
Hey, Tom.
My name's Decius. I don't know who Tom
is. Hey, Tom.
So where's the microphone and where's the question coming from it?
Me? Do I have to ask it?
Skydog has a question.
Skydog!
His address is...
What?
Social Security number is 43... No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So you were talking earlier today, earlier before the buzz about Korea.
He's
you were saying
back.
They have 100 meg actually to the household, right?
$20 a month,
$20 a month. So what's the difference between their infrastructure and our infrastructure?
Well, the difference is that everyone in the country lives in the same city. I'm not kidding.
Are you in?
It's called Seoul. And they have these massive apartment buildings that, you know, everyone kind of lives in the same building. And so it's cheap to deploy high, you know, amounts of broadband because they're very dense. Like, the population is very dense. So that's one of the issues. But the other thing is that their government has promoted, you know, the broadband and has attempted to create incentives for the telecom industry to produce that kind of infrastructure. And I please do not misinterpret. This whole country is, you know, so politically polarized right now that it's almost impossible to talk about politics. As a matter of fact, the Clinton administration was very interested in this stuff. Al Gore was very interested in this stuff, and they did a lot policy-wise to promote it. As a matter of fact, the Bush administration is not at all interested in it. That doesn't mean that Democrats are good and Republicans are bad or, you know, whatever. Shut the fuck up. All it means is that the Clinton administration, in fact, was interested in this, and Bush, in fact, is not, or believes that totally hands-off policy is the right way to go. And so, you know, there are a lot of people who are sort of looking at the federal government in the United States and saying they need to do more to promote broadband deployment, and you know, that, you know, that may or may not be reasonable depending upon your philosophy and your political alignment. But those questions are being raised. Does that answer your question? Wow.
Next question.
I just had a question. Basically, you know what the deal is with, like, the patch that's coming out soon for Windows XP 2000? where basically it's going to make it so that if you have an illegitimate copy, it's basically going to fry your operating system.
Wait a second.
Unfortunately, the last version of Windows I used was NT. I don't really keep up with it anymore.
Basically what it is that when Windows runs through its protocol and basically asks for, you know, to download that patch is basically going to search through your computer and see whether or not it's actually a legitimate copy.
I don't believe that's true.
No, it's actually already been broken itself. Okay, wait a minute. Are you really seeing that Microsoft?
They're getting more serious about it, but what they're doing is you can't get Windows up and running in the first place without having paid. They've never done that before.
Right. No, well, the whole thing is that it was something like, you know, there was like a very high percentage of the copies that were out there were actually illegitimate copies. That's why they did this. Right. It's already been cracked.
Yeah. As of just a few weeks ago, I believe it was, something like that.
I mean, they were talking about like this patch coming out. It was something like a month ago.
Huh?
So I don't know if it's been broken since then, but about a month ago they were talking about how this patch was going to be coming out.
Since a lot of them became mandatory checking your system, that system for them checking your computer has been cracked, from my understanding.
Okay. Oh yeah. Just got really curious about like the actual like whether it's legal for them to do that.
It's in their licensing agreement. It says they can pretty much do it if you go to the Windows update. Who here has installed anything past Windows 2000 Service Pack 3? And any OS that's been released since then, okay?
Oh, really?
How many people read the nice little line item that says Microsoft has full control of your computer, defining what they want to do on your computer?
It does kind of explain the 60 fucking spyware programs I deleted off my computer last year.
How many people think the financial industry stopped at Service Pack 3 for several months until all the lawyers could figure out if they could actually do that? Because regulations require that they can't give control over the company. So,
as individuals, vote with your choices. If you don't approve of what Microsoft is doing, stop using them. It's the hardest thing you can possibly do. I know I try to practice my theories. Just simply not using Microsoft is a hard thing to do. Give it a try. If you don't like them that much, give it a try.
Look at the computer gaming room just up one floor. I mean, how many of those vendors, I mean, very few are actually even considering Linux ports.
Yeah, I know that sucks. You can't necessarily get the latest and greatest sometimes if you need to make the right decisions. If you're running a production environment in terms of like servers, you can never run the latest and greatest source. In fact, lagging behind a bit is one of the things you need to do to keep your network safe and secure. Because how are things tested? Time. Things are tested over time. So you need to roll with that.
Well, to a large degree, I mean, everything is a trade-off. I mean, the most fuel-efficient car is not the safest car, and it's not the fastest car. Where's the microphone, and where is the next official question?
I want an official question.
We have more beer to get rid of.
You.
Good question.
You're the microphone distributor as opposed to the question asker.
Yes. I'm waiting for people to answer.
Who hasn't
Who's got a question?
Yeah, right behind you.
Anna. No, she was just kidding.
No, she has.
I have a question. I can ask you, but.
It needs to be done in private.
Not in public.
Oh, man.
I have one I can ask in public.
Question, please.
Speaking of locking things down.
I'm filling in for Randall.
Yeah, he's. This evening, the part of Randall Schwartz will be played by Trevor Hurd.
Feel free to interrupt with a question anytime.
Sky Dog.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
I can only vaguely remember, but I seem to recall that there's new monitors coming out that have some sort of special filter on them, such that.
Trying to remove the analog portion of the equation.
Yes.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Three or four things jumped to my mind the second you said that. Is first of all, that is an attempt to make it hard to break out of a DRM shell. That is the reason there. In that, if you can hear it or see it, you can record it. You know, you can still put a camcorder up in front of your thing, but it's an effort to make it harder. And that's the direction that the DRM crowd is going in, and it's probably a futile direction. But
yeah. I mean, how many people in this room have a functioning monitor?
You.
Actually, I don't.
Can
I
you?
How many?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, don't buy that crap. Don't fucking buy it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you, you know, if you got to go back to that old 15-incher that you got in the closet for a couple months, they're going to get the message pretty quick that nobody's interested in it.
Yeah, and open markets, a part of that is that you vote with your dollars. If we are
nobody bought DivX players, though.
About
I mean,
history,
there is precedent
know
for this.
That markets and open markets is one of our key things, so don't stop voting with your dollars. And sometimes that means to not buy new shit.
Well, the thing, okay, so he made that point, but, I mean, nobody bought DivX players and it went away. All right. There, you need to. Okay, so I'll add a caveat or corollary to the rule. A, don't buy it. B, tell somebody else not to buy it. All right.
I think I've drank. Yeah,
but, you see, those of us who don't drink will stay up later.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I need another hit of whatever you have.
Okay.
So
perhaps there
don't
needs
let
to be a
friends buy things that take away.
Perhaps there needs
to
be some more publicity of, you know, if the monitor says this, don't buy it. Is this stuff available in the market yet? I don't know. I've read some of the standards that are emerging, but I don't think it's actually for sale. At some point, this stuff is going to go on the market, and there's going to be a name for it, and that's when we need to start making stickers.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, look, I have propaganda on me.
Did you have a question?
Propaganda.
Did you have a question?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes,
you have the microphone.
Do.
All right.
Oh, no. All right. No, they asked for. I have propaganda.
You know, all those people that they were
I'm asking for flash
no.
as well.
I have propaganda on me.
Yeah.
I do.
She has alcohol.
The URL. I think Tom and Nick can give you that.
Hold on. Just give me a second.
He's digging for it.
Who asked that question?
Oh, yeah.
You did? All right. Well, sticker.
Yeah, everybody here should
anybody who wants a sticker can have a sticker.
We're
going to ask a good question.
We're going to selfishly shame promote. Or say,
All right.
What would you like?
Shame on me.
Back that way.
That, what he said.
All right, Anna's got
a batch of them.
Okay, my question, which I already know the answer to, is how many of you have been in newspapers with the word hacker associated with you?
Oh, yeah.
Newspapers, I haven't. CNBC, CNN, and a couple of military trade journals, yes.
I saw you on the post office wall.
Actually, I was not associated in the criminal sense.
Oh, yeah, she was making fun of me by asking this question. When I was in Korea, I ended up on this panel. It's really random. There was this hacker. I'll tell the story. The story's entertaining. I was working for this ISP, and we had a lot of security issues in Korea for the reasons that I mentioned earlier. And so I needed to hire somebody who was local who could deal with some of that crap. And so I couldn't find a good computer security guy. So I said – and I heard about this hacker con. So I said, I'm going to go there and try to find somebody to hire. So I go there, and I show up, and it's weird. I got this – poorly translated English text about the, you know, conference. And so I show up on like Wednesday night and I get there, and the next morning, you know, the conference is supposed to start. So I go and I'm in the hotel and I go down there and I'm like, so where's the conference? And they're like, conference? What conference? What are you talking about? So I'm like on the other side of the planet and I got nothing to do. So, you know, so I figure, well, what I'll do, there's actually a phone number on this announcement. So I'll call these people and I start talking to them and they're like, who are you and what are you doing here? And I start talking and they figure out that I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm talking about. And apparently they had some guy that was supposed to fly out from North Carolina, some guy that worked for Red Hat, who was supposed to speak at this conference the next day. And, He was not available, or his flight was delayed or something. So they said, "Can you speak?" Now the way these hacker cons go, how many people here have been to a hacker con, right? Sometimes we actually, well, and maybe so. I don't know. See, hacker cons tend to vary in terms of the amount of planning that goes on beforehand. Sometimes, you know, you've got like Dragon Con. We have speakers, who are set up to speak on panels, and they know in advance that they're going to do that. Whereas sometimes at a HackerCon, you just kind of show up and somebody points at you and says, "You're speaking." So I was kind of good at coming up with something to talk about really rapidly.
Like when you do a rant or something.
Right.
Oh, the Desius rants. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, whatever. I agreed to speak. I don't want to embellish the story too much, but anyway, basically like 2 hours later. And I got up this morning, and I knew that there was, or I found out that there was no con, and I figured I was going to spend the rest of the day in my gray office doing email. And I'm standing on this panel at this university, and I have this huge banner behind my head that says "World's Top 10 Hackers in Seoul, Korea." And I'm doing this panel, and I'm doing whatever the hell I came up with while I was in the shower that morning, right? And the press is there. They're all taking my picture. There are these girls who ran up with their little Hello Kitty notepads who wanted autographs. It was the most insane thing that ever happened to me in my life. It was absolutely the weirdest thing that ever happened. And so, there is in fact this newspaper that's all in Korean that's got a picture of me on it that says "World's Top 10 Hackers in Seoul, Korea." So that's my fun media story.
Mm. No, don't forget. Don't forget the little honor. What was the model of?
Thank you for keeping count,
Tom.
I'll ask you later.
The thing they gave you was really neat. That you got from what was it? What? The Korean Air Force general guy that presented you.
No, I've got something from the legislature. Yeah, we went on and we met the legislature. I met the general of the Air Force. It was a weird weekend, okay? It was really weird. I think they had an interest in kind of creating a hacker culture in their community because they wanted to employ people for doing offensive infowar operations. That's my opinion. The weirdest thing that the most annoying thing they had who here knows what a 2600 meeting is? Most of you, okay? So I won't explain it. They had this 2600 meeting. Okay, and the guy that got to speak at the 2600, and nobody, there was a couple people they brought from the U.S. to speak at this con, and nobody knew what they were going in for when they got there, right? This guy came up with a talk about capability maturity models in corporations with respect to security. He was the guy who spoke at the 2600 meeting that they threw. And they had, so the way this worked is they gave everyone a T-shirt who came to the 2600 meeting, and they were all expected to sit orderly in this. And then they had dancing cyber girls for like 15 minutes. These girls dressed in silver like show up, and they like dance to techno music for 15 minutes. And then they have this guy get up and talk about capability maturity models in corporations for computer security. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. No interaction from the audience was allowed at all. And we sat and we talked to them, and we're like, look, these kids are interested in the stuff we want to communicate. We want to interact with them, and we want to see what they're working on and stuff like that. And absolutely not. No way. We're going to have this thing be orderly and structured. So I don't know.
It wasn't a 2600. It just had the name.
That's what they called it. Yeah. That was their concept of doing a 2600. And it's not. It's not Korea. It's the guys who are running this conference who are
so
idiots.
There's like but fans it was the most, of 2600 at this point. There's like a 2600 fan culture, is what you're saying.
Well, I yes, exactly. It was absolutely the weirdest like that, weekend so of my
you're
life.
You're saying that the term 2600 got hacked by a bunch of normal people.
Yes. Yes. What kind of beer do you want, sir? Yes, we do.
Pass this on.
She wants some of what I'm drinking.
Oh, I can open it, yeah. No, you don't need one? All right.
Oh!
Holy!
Oh.
Wow!
That
man deserves another beer!
Damn!
Yeah, that was weird.
There, that one's... Why do you do that?
Because it's fucking cool, okay. All right?
Because that's my stupid human trick.
Wow.
How many times have you done that, and have you ever had dentistry work done because of doing that?
Last
3 years,
and no.
Okay.
Okay, but no, wait, we have a valid question here. How drunk were you the first time you tried that?
Yeah, I was sober.
Whoa. All right.
You wanted to be drunk bad the first time you did that.
You'll notice this guy on the way out. He can't walk because of the balls on him.
All right. Well, we're looking for media stories. The question, the original question was, have you ever appeared in the news media for a hacking, or a hacker, as a hacker?
There was one scene that, in my case, the only thing actually was the Nashville scene.
We're trying to have a conference.
You know, your
here.
Standard weekly rag that every city has. Did a story on a bunch
it's
of us.
Kind
and it was written by a guy who does the tech column there, and he actually put together a nice story. I was happy to be a part of it. He wasn't framing anybody as criminals. He was trying to tell people that the hacking scene was a place basically of exploration and understanding, and people who like to take things apart and figure out how they worked and stuff like that. And I was really happy that that was, you know, one of the things that I wound up in that had the term hacker associated with it. I think everybody should be so lucky. It doesn't always go that way, because usually when hackers are in a position to make the news, it's because something really wrong happened. And not like they were on the wrong end of it, but they were involved. And when you label yourself as a hacker, I think when you label yourself as a hacker, you have balls. And I've come to that conclusion over years, because I thought I never thought anything of it until, you know, you watch your friends get fucked over. But that doesn't stop you from... That shouldn't stop anybody from doing something. Sometimes being a part of something that has controversy associated with it means that you're a part of something that's important. And it's very hard to work with shit that can hurt people and trying to understand it.
All right, there we go.
And then trying to share it. That's hard.
Not one at a time, it sucks.
Yes, I know.
Wow. That was also the article that had Johnny X with the face paint and...
Yeah. Well, they actually, it was like a reprise of another article too from the same magazine, and the person who was on the cover of that last one was one of our friends who was there when you started the Nashville 2600 thing. So.
So when do I start?
Now.
Start talking.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, I mean, especially for someone who's been sitting on the edge.
No, but
especially for someone who's been sitting on the edge for a while.
Temporarily,
as far as just keep reading here and there, keeping track when they can.
With all your copious free time. Right?
Yes. Well, I do Windows support for a program that the developers look at doing new things before they start looking at patching some serious bugs sometimes.
Yeah, if you do Windows support, you have no free time.
That was full.
Well, the other free time I have is essentially escapism. So I've stopped doing that. But anyway, aside from the obvious sources as far as finding out new information, since you're not going to be able...
Seriously.
Let this guy talk, please.
Yep.
Since you're not going to be able to literally rip apart everything that comes out new, as far as sources that you go to pick up information on things you don't have the time for but you're interested in, as far as problems with new products coming out, et cetera.
There you go.
Security focus.
Build one really hard. I'm trying to build one. Mm-hmm. That's my answer. And I think we're getting somewhere with it, but I'm trying to build one. Because there isn't one, and there won't be one. There will be several.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm expecting several, but I'm more curious as to ones that are currently existing or ones that are being planned that most folks don't go to. I mean, obviously, everyone and their mother goes to Slashdot for information.
Security,
although
focus
it's not necessarily
and,
my mother
serious.
Doesn't use Slashdot yet.
Yes, I know. Dude, you gotta wear this now.
I'm trying to build one. I don't have all the answers.
If you have enough free time, subscribe yourself to every Security Focus email list. Just make sure you have a plenty big enough hard drive in your inbox can allow several thousand messages at a time.
Well, Fuller
is
like famous for subscribing
with
to
who have
everything.
The same need and talk with each other. Because you're not going to find a one place that's going to give you all the answers. That's like asking for a hotline to God. Every part of that has a flaw, every part of that statement. Not what you said, what I said. You know, asking for a hotline to whatever. You have to take in a lot of different sources. You have to use your own head. And the only way to really do that is to associate with people who have the same problems and discuss it and share what you found. because if you are a part of a group and everybody finds one thing of importance and shares that thing of importance, you grow as a whole, and that's how we do it. There's no other answer. Do you have anything else to say before I toss back this guy? Yeah, give him a beer.
Feel free to have a beer, sir.
Beer, dude.
Ideally, everybody in here should have a beer.
Well, you know, the Mexicans also used apple, the lime, and the one that
has I know, man. Right. I just don't. How do you like get lime and end up with
apple? How do you fuck up the slice?
Well, he ran off. But he left it with rattle, which was a really mistake.
You want one? I'm not zapping anybody with a cattle prod. You earlier, had your hand up first. We'll get you.
I've got the mic.
Oh, you've
I'm
got the mic.
Like that. But earlier you had a question about trying to come up with a good, solid cryptography question and the ideas of setting up authentication. A lot of the discussions that they're having in the current security community are dealing with having a particular proxy according to your network structure, which doesn't take into account where and what applications are dealing with your data. If you have a certain level of layers of encryption with enough disassociation between the various ones, you can identify something specifically between nodes. It doesn't... Any
I'm already starting to lose you a bit, so it's going to like be me answering a question I want to answer as opposed to the one you're asking. So
this is towards the aspects of cryptography, dealing with it from either the network topology point of view or what you're trying to do with point-to-point. The aspect is typically you want to make sure that the possibility or probability of an incursion or an intrusion is minimalized by the fact that you have enough of a wrapper, an encryption algorithm, be it RSA or any of the various 20 or 30 primary sets of algorithm families.
Victor, you're losing
keys.
Me, you're losing the room, and it's sounding more like a statement than a question, but keep...
Well, it's a question on the aspect of what research is being done into the point in the aspects of... with.
Get you're assuming that all the points can be trusted, and they can't.
But you can if you know which set of obfuscations you come from originally.
No.
What are you
trying? Because assets are mobile. You cannot continue to trust them.
Or what you're like, let's come back to you with it. Figure out a way to ask it a little bit shorter, because you're losing me and you're definitely losing the whole room with the question. We're trying to keep the conversation going. You had your hand up. Or go with him first, and then
yeah. Show up at 2600 meetings with a question, and we'll cover it more.
He had his hand up for a while.
Him or just then.
I'm sorry, but it was I couldn't even follow you.
Just start talking.
She's drinking.
There's an article.
Got a guy in the back.
Quiet.
Speak into the big round end.
Okay. I was going to ask, you were in South Korea, and there's a recent trend, I think, that's been happening for a while in South Korea of sort of anonymous harassment or public ridicule of sort of, I guess, people like that just sort of piss people off. And like there was an instance of a lady on a subway that didn't really take care of her dog's remains after
I remember that.
And she ended up losing her job and harassed to the point that, I mean, that she was... Because South Korea is in such a tight-knit society that, like, you know, I guess, I mean, in the same sense that, like, honor and respect and is valued, but the pervasiveness of broadband and anonymous internet traffic, that they were able to essentially ridicule her and destroy her reputation. And there's, I guess, some threat to free speech.
This is an excellent topic. Yeah. This is something that he wanted to get into in the bloggers' rights discussion. Anybody here have a weblog? Yeah, a number of you. I mean, there's this thing where there's different rules, at least in the United States, for libel with respect to personalities versus like private individuals. And the internet kind of makes all of this blurry. Who's a journalist and who's not a journalist? Who's a public figure and who's not a public figure? And, you know, if a whole bunch of people get together and they start, like, talking smack about somebody, you know, they aren't They may not know that they're clueless, right? And so you can't really accuse them of malice. It's sort of a mob mentality.
Character assassination is a form of violence.
It's well, yeah, but it's entirely possible for it to occur on the internet, and there's no way to control it. You know, you can't.
On the internet, that have you give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. That's not character assassination.
Yeah, but they'll hang themselves.
But if you start a rumor that like you know. Skydog is a murderer, and people start and people start buying into it, and it spreads, right? And then they're all like, no, you know, and they're all like, I mean, there's a good example of this. There was some idiot who's actually amazingly a former federal prosecutor. I don't understand how. Well, maybe I do understand why he's a former federal prosecutor. But in any event, he went on. He's a commentator on Fox, and he went up there and he provided the home address of some guy he thinks is a terrorist. Right? This guy is an Islamic priest in L.A. He thinks he's a terrorist. Right? The FBI apparently doesn't necessarily agree. They're looking at it. But anyway, he provides his home address on TV. But the problem is that address is from 3 years ago, and the guy doesn't even live there anymore. And so you've got this family that all of a sudden people are like burning stuff in their yard and throwing stuff at them, and they're like, "What did we do?" Right? Now that's belligerently irresponsible in the media. That's an example of the kind of reason why you have stuff like libel and slander laws. You don't want some journalist to go out on television and provide some random person's home address and say, "Lynch mob here." You know, that's wrong. That's not what the First Amendment was talking about. And so, you know, this whole thing with the internet where those lines become blurred, you know, creates a lot of challenging questions about how we can deal with that in the future. I mean, you cannot control web lockers the way you can control the media. And so I don't know the I wish I had answers to your question. I'd like to know what other people in the room think about it, but it's a really big problem, and you know, it's something that we need to be thinking about going forward, like as web logs become more important in terms of how people get information. Any of you guys know who Interdictor is?
No.
Yeah, the guy in New Orleans.
You've heard of it. There's this guy, ex-military guy, that runs an ISP in New Orleans, who decided...
His friend is...
Yes, he does, and it's still online. It's still online right now. He stayed. He stayed and ran his ISP. They've been delivering him fuel. He and he's got like a bunch of he's got one connection left. Last time I read his weblog, he's got a weblog.
Granted,
he's got a live webcam.
This on like one source.
I mean,
so.
No. The reality is, he has a live webcam of the business district in New Orleans. So, like, you know, you can say he's lying or not, but the reality is that he's got something connected to the internet down there, and he's been blogging about, you know, the what's going on in the streets down there, and they've been going out and getting water, and they've been, you know, getting fuel drops. It's crazy. I think the guy's a little bit nuts. I mean, come on. All right, internet access is important, but are you really going to risk your life for it? However, you know, it's kind of interesting to get like firsthand reporting from this person who's actually on the street in the middle of this disaster. And you know, so that's an example of a place where somebody who's just a random individual with a weblog can turn into a place where people are really looking for information about current events and the way they turn to the media. And that creates all kinds of difficult problems.
As a side note, it's something to think about. On 9/11, I was actually fixing one of our HR computers at the time. Everybody else, you know, we didn't have cable.
Well, hey, well, our job is to fix stuff that's broken. I mean, that's what computer geeks
this
do.
This was a previous job, so...
got broken stuff. I got a place you can automatically deposit money.
You get a beer, by the way. Yeah. Come get
a
beer.
Well, what I did is I tuned into Slashdot, and I was getting, you know... Well, yeah, but Slashdot and other places would have, you know, updates and, you know, fast from BBC and every other place that was around, including, you know, within 20 minutes, people are having, you know, webcams in their offices from, you know, blocks away, and they just, you know, hey, you know, look, you know, this is actually what's happening. And, you know, in that instance, it's powerful.
We got to see the whole world look in one direction.
Yeah.
Hi. I actually have two questions that are completely unrelated to each other.
I have one question in 27 parts.
given data note is just trying to get two beers out of one question.
I'll be happy with one.
You should have broken them up. That way you would have gotten two beers. Anyway, well, right.
I don't need two. Given that the release date for Windows Vista keeps getting pushed back, and along with
I heard they're just going to ship it as a 200K patch.
Well,
every time I turn around, they remove the feature.
Come on, you're still my thunder, man. You're still my thunder. Okay, and given the corollary that...
Ooh, new beer.
Get more booze.
Okay, so on the other side, this is really, really nice booze that he's carrying, and you need really nice questions.
Okay, so given that the release date for Windows Vista keeps getting pushed back, and along with that, given that the feature set for Windows Vista keeps getting shorter and shorter, what's the likelihood that by the time it actually hits the streets, it'll simply be a re-release of DOS 6.2?
No, I agree. No, you're right.
They pull something together that's quality.
They just changed the about dialogue box and, like, they have a new icon. I mean, pretty much that's all that's left. But
I hope they find style somewhere.
Just, I have to interrupt real quick in case hotel security comes bursting in here because they were pretty mad at me after I told them to fuck off and gave them the slip. I would like to request bail money just in case.
I already put in for the beer.
Oh.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, and my second question is, what's it going to take to get the girls from the Hacksaw DVDs here at Dragon Con?
Oh, dude, no! Don't go there!
Which ones?
Do you want them here, or do you want to keep them from showing up here?
I'm so glad that they did that, though.
Am I not enough for you?
Jesse. No, let me make a point here. I'm so glad that they did that. Because I think when you talk about any particular culture, I think one defining point in the maturity of that culture is the point that it has its own porn. Okay? That's cool. Now, it may have not been the porn it wanted,
there's,
but
there's a much better
Goatsy?
No. No.
Did you happen to go to DEF CON and see them? Okay, then you wouldn't worry about it.
They look much better on film.
Let's not be mean.
Hey, Wayne.
They showed up for a con.
Have you got Randall Scotch?
Not that personal. Not that personal.
Takes off their clothes,
Randall Schwartz, for those of you who were here last year, showed up for about 15 minutes of Hacking 201 before he went to either pass out or have sex, depending on which
better.
Story
he's
you heard.
30 today.
Pass out. My money's
he forgot.
Out.
He forgot his scotch from last year, which we were going to give to him this year. So the plan is, well, if you don't like beer, now we have some really, really good expensive scotch to share, and we'll give him the bottle.
Randall has very, very
expensive
scotch. That's 18.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the cover story. We gave him the full bottle at the beginning of the panel, and he drank most of it. And he'll never know the difference until he actually listens to the MP3.
Do we have the bottles here that I drank Friday night? I think we do, actually.
Well, maybe we should call him up and harass him at a little after midnight.
He's in California, so...
Oh, what the hell? Let's call him up and let's chat.
Actually, let's...
Don't make an announcement.
No, I was going to say if I lit a cigarette here, would anybody give a shit?
Yes.
It's illegal.
Oh, okay, now I know who you are. All right.
We've still got beer. We've still got good beer.
Shut up.
Come on.
Question.
Let me put this beer right.
We have homebrew beer and we have scotch.
Are you over 21?
No. Oh, hey, traditionally at midnight, we kind of like take a pee break because alcohol and coffee, caffeinated beverages, you never buy them. You just rent them for a while. And we usually order some pizzas, too. Is anyone interested in ordering pizzas? And if you are, we need to come up with a plan to sneak them into the hotel since the Hyatt are being a bunch of dickheads about bringing in outside food.
This might get him a mic.
I'll be more than happy to initiate new Cobra members with the cattle prod.
Johnny, bring him in.
Please retain that. Let me go around the bus.
Okay. Tell them we also have... Oh, wait. We have two... Last year was too simple. We've increased the complexity of the mission. Not only do they have to endure pain, but they have to demonstrate their ability for stealth and creative thinking, which means we will charge the Cobra members with bringing the pizza in.
Have a mission.
If they show up here with the free pizzas, they get a free run of the beer and the scotch. All right.
Life is about negotiation.
All right. Now, the other part of this the other part of the equation here is we actually need to, one, cough up some money for pizzas, two, order the pizzas.
Yep.
So, Papa John's is who we've usually gotten. And we usually go ahead and we write down recommendations. I know some people are vegetarian, some people are meat eaters, and we just need to collect the money.
Throw the cash in the box.
Drew, Johnny, I'm sorry. There we go.
All right, thank you, ma'am. $10 from Alonka.
While we're doing this, does anybody else have any other technical or any other questions to ask?
I am the Scotch Mistress.
All right. What
time is it? Put your money in over in the box here, and then tell me what you would like.
Just hand it to the big ugly motherfucker.
Meat.
Meat.
That's
meat. Meat. Oh, yeah. So I guess we're taking a break at this point.
This is the second panel I've just gotten into.
Meat. Let's see. We've had a.
Don't run off with that. Back, you're fine.
We do need it for Cobra, so don't run off with it.
Sauce.
I love you guys. Like curiosity. Officially,
I'm
21.
How old
are you?
I have
15
pineapples.
That's not too bad.
I'll share with you.
Pineapple and what?
Illegal.
We got
cheese.
Pepperoni and
like a little pineapple. It's a line for me from Magic
Fingers. I think whatever.
We got meat.
We got meat. We got meat lovers. Yesterday. Yeah, like we've already been through the 6-pack.
I just wanted to bring something back for some friends of mine. This beer looks full of shit.
We want it.
I don't know what.
I got the three of us there.
All right. We have any minutes left?
You got the last $3?
Last $3. I've been here since about 11.
That's some love right there.
I've been off and on all the
shit. Sticker. You're talking on the end of that.
Show me how. I know this band.
Wait, what? No, I'm not going to know that. Three, four,
that would hurt like shit.
Can't be too good.
Sir,
your donation.
Where did you all get that?
I actually pizza.
Oh, that's just across the street.
Thank you.
It's not generous. It's a fairly popular brand here down south. Is it ain't good?
Who's got cash? Who's got cash?
Make it.
All right, I'll work on the toothpick. Thanks.
There's a place called the Vortex. So we're going to have a biker bar here. They've got a couple locations here in Atlanta.
It's a sudden gust
of breath. I highly recommend you try it. It's a sudden gust of breath. Yes,
I felt it.
I got it.
Oh, no, nice. I thought you were going to try it. You didn't get it from me.
That was pretty good.
Tell Tina I'm looking for a way over. I'm not built that way. Sorry.
In the other pizza request, we've got meat lovers, pineapple and cheese. Okay. Let's just do a veggie.
I have to get my evil genius
home. I don't have your cash on me.
I'm not going to be able to get into the handicap access anyway.
Huh?
I don't want the side entrance by Harris.
No, not really, but okay.
No money for you.
If I fucking got it, but all right.
For a short time.
My plan is we just have it delivered over to Marriott and then smuggle it across somehow like that, and I'll leave it up to Cobra to figure out how to do the Cobra.
One on your laptop, one on your bicycle.
You got it?
It's fabulous. It's good as long as we can get him to look the wrong way.
All right, go.
This man right here.
Huh?
I said, if it's struggling too hard on the way,
no, because I'm probably.
Wait,
no. Well, hang on, George, I got more time. Oh, thank you.
Okay. Woohoo!
At 12 cents for the bail fund.
Atlanta.
Oh, damn. That's almost twice what I thought it was. Thank you.
Sort of.
Yeah. I think I'm good since security hadn't shown up here.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to teach you something else, too. This will be very valuable for you in college when you're broke. See this right here?
Well, I'm not a computer.
It's cheap. If you squeeze lime into it, put salt around it, it's known as a
poison. Don't
forget about your
margarita.
Also, if you're a chili fan, you can use this to cook chili as part of a base.
Have you signed it?
Oh, come on.
I'm putting a lime in a Corona and putting salt on the rim is known as a poor man's margarita.
Handle or anything of any kind.
Well,
come out. Come out, wear the hat, you get to run with our crowd. We're the ones that put it on, so.
I'm sorry?
I'll definitely give you the information for our mail.
Dude, boy, you got yeah. some shit for a while. Who should be the
security people? Yeah. 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 I'm still not sure.
Somebody has things.
Point to the
spot.
And I will confirm this. I haven't really said this before to anyone else. Google has a data center in Dublin, Ireland. And yes, Google has a Zenith app in their data center for their data center technology.
Yes, Rattle and DCS used to work together.
That's the only thing I missed about Google.
So definitely talk to either of them.
It's been confirmed that the Dublin data center, which is a few blocks down the street from the Guinness place, they have a Guinness pass that is kept filled at all times in the Dublin data center.
What?
No. Oh, yeah.
He's
the guy who stole the money. Sky Dog, you're more sober than I am, so that's the list. I'm putting you in charge of making this happen.
Okay.
Sure.
You know, John is great.
Yeah. How's he doing? I haven't talked to him in ages.
I mean, I've done pretty good.
He's actually been hired on by Google, and he's working. Heading out to San Francisco.
So, yeah, definitely need to talk to someone in our group.
San Francisco is probably a lot cooler than Atlanta is. But tell him to give me a call, and I can at least give him some tips and drop some names. He probably doesn't want to mention my name to anyone.
Well, unfortunately, he'll be gone by the time I get back. I think he's heading out tomorrow.
Well, tell him to get in touch with me nonetheless. I may have some useful advice for him.
Mr. X, I'm going to give you some room.
What are you saying?
I'll give you some wine. You'll like it.
What is that?
You'll especially like it in the morning. Bad for outside.
I need to say there's good people within the FBI.
Okay.
That's where we were last.
Addictive stuff.
And then there's also
the government.
That's good.
Right.
Can someone go please get the Cobra Commander and
I left an hour ago. I'm not drinking anymore after this.
We're getting ready to order pizza.
I've learned my limits over the years.
Yeah, you're full.
That's true.
How about that?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're just trying to get it delivered to the entrance of the area. A lot of times the hotel. A lot of times have it delivered to the entrance, the front entrance of the Marriott. There's a lot of times they won't let them pass the lobby.
Okay.
For legal reasons.
We'll definitely figure that out.
Multiple meat lovers, pineapple and cheese, sausage, cheese, pepperoni.
You fucking misspelled pepperoni, dude.
Okay. This is our main site.
For what we've got, and make sure we tip the driver at least $20.
It's important I send it out.
That means we got $113 for the pizza, damn it.
This is for all...
What's the tax for this motherfucker?
Southeast.
What is the tax here?
Actually, I have it.
And from here, you can go to any chapter you want to. There's also the milling.
At this point, right now, I'm so broke that I don't care if my identity gets stolen because no one will be able to do it.
And on that one site, sc2600.org, you can get to the mailing list, all the chapter mailing list, all of the information you probably ever need to get to.
Hell yeah! What a sailor's shit!
Hey!
He's getting what?
No, just org.
No, you'll be the first this year. I recommend either the the thigh or the upper arm.
I will not.
I will not do chest, torso, or I will not do neck up. I will not do
like.
What? I haven't done a foot tonight yet.
I'm not going to.
It's like a bee sting.
I'm not going to.
All right, you ready? Pat your spot. Pat, where you are.
Yes.
Okay.
You know
what? Watch that.
Hey, aren't the guys with the headphones on?
Can we see that again? Not specific, just the jump. The jump was good.
The guys with the headphones on.
Yeah, the new batteries were needed.
There's somebody right there.
Until the cops show up, you know, you're cool.
I'm trying to take a picture of her ass, but she got the one.
Yeah, can we get a picture of this?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Where's my drink?
We had on the back of one of the HackerCon t-shirts.
Over here.
It's not over until the police report is filed.
Was he the one that went to the gas station?
You didn't see the best property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Good job, kid.
What are you doing?
He went to the liquor
store. We went on the beer run with us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and look, the kid's got taste. Look what he's drinking.
She's gonna do.
Is it this?
Last night as scary aspects of your employment.
Are
you at liberty to discuss this?
Yes, I'm intoxicated.
There's no NDA or anything.
All right, if anyone wants to know about working at Google, yeah, technically there are still NDAs involved, but I'm intoxicated enough that I just don't give a shit.
Yeah! Yeah! I'm not intoxicated enough yet.
You want us to start recording now?
What do you want to know?
What is the first thing that you consider frightening about their
approach? Okay. I think I'm buttoned like the last.
What I considered curious about.
Did you just flash everything?
I'll just wait until this is over with, and I'll answer your question.
I thank you, sir.
Here, let me put the camera down.
I'm hooking over here, off the hook, right here.
I'll put the camera off.
Because the two people that protect me are not here.
Okay.
I'll protect you, Anna.
Well,
did you show them your hat? Yeah, I gave him this hat.
She got it. Tell him about
the hat. Through the belly of the beast to get that hat.
What was it about the blind people who work there?
Johnny.
They employ blind people in the gift shop so they can't talk about...
No, I have nobody over here. If you are undercover, do not use your credit card here.
All right.
Okay.
Johnny, the other cheek. We got to get a picture.
You're in trouble.
Come on. Slide on up here.
I am an ass.
We can just do it as a photo op as you want. I don't have to actually shock you, you know.
Oh, come on. Shh.
Your body will thank you.
We can just do it. Do you actually want to be shocked, or you just want to be? Okay.
$3 for the first
All right.
Three. One. Two.
Three.
At least you're
No, it's quite all right.
All right.
It was good for me.
Okay, someone asked me about the scarier. You did. Scarier aspects of working at Google. It is a cult. At least here in Atlanta, it was a fucking cult. They encourage you
First rule, Google is not talk about Google.
I don't care. It's very .com-ish in that, hey, we're all buddies. We encourage you to stay here.
Anyone who can help me sneak some pizzas in, could you come to the front over here on the left?
Working day, and we've got ping pong tables. You know, hang out, have fun, work on other stuff, relax, decompress, whatever. But 12-hour workdays are not uncommon. Granted, you're not working 12 hours nonstop, but you're encouraged. I've got one of those t-shirts. They encourage you to spend a lot of time in California at the Googleplex and here in Atlanta in the data centers and
we are Google
in the break room, blah blah blah.
I mean, I'm all for some of the shit that they're doing, but I was really fascinated by the fact you called it somewhat frightening.
There's good stuff and there's bad stuff. The bad stuff is that you know, you're not supposed to talk to anyone about working at Google, including spouses, children, friends, family, anyone. It's like being in CIA. I'm drunk.
I understand.
Two, they organize a lot of your social activities outside of Google. And you're, hey, we're having a party. Hey, we're all going to see a movie. Hey, we're taking a day off to do this.
hey, we printed out a club, and the AdWords girls are all going to be there. There's like advertising and engineering are the two main divisions at Google. Advertising is all hot chicks with big tits. Engineering is people like us. So they'll organize parties where they rent out an expensive club, and it's the AdWords chicks, who are usually single, and the geeks. And they encourage you to spend as much time as possible with the Google people and not with anyone else. And apparently they went on a recruiting binge up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I know people up there.
It's messy now.
Hell yeah.
It's messy now.
This sort of social introversion.
The group.
All right. Everybody's gotten a little too tight here.
The group that I worked with here in Atlanta. Hardware Operations had a reputation for being the group that consumed more alcohol than every other division in Google combined.
Sir, I thank you very much for answering my question. I am very glad I wanted to ask you this since last night when you said
Dude, Google has amazing opportunities and they're doing some foolish shit stuff. Don't get sucked into the cult. It was very cultish, and the fact that a guy I knew who I thought really had his shit together, hot new wife, just bought a new house and everything, so distraught that he might lose his Google job that he blows his fucking brains out.
I understand that.
Yeah. So, yeah, just watch out. If you get the opportunity, take it. It's great resume fodder. And I've also noticed that if you want to get free shit in the mail, like free magazine subscriptions, free software, free blah, 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 put down that the company you work for is Google and software engineer or network engineer. People will fall all over themselves to give you free shit.
But
when
they check your reference?
How are they going to check? Because Google will not confirm or deny anything. Go for it. Mr. Skydog there is in charge of it.
Wrong.
Ordering.
Hey, buddy. Yeah.
Don't shock anyone unless they say it's okay to shock them.
Those are for cats.
I think it's okay. I just want to say that I thank you, candidly, for answering my question.
If you currently work at Google and you're going to report back to Devin or Fern, I'll kill you. Right now, you will not leave the room alive.
I work for an ice cream store.
Can you hold that for a second?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, hold that for a second. We have his fingerprints now.
You got my fingerprints. I'm goddamn working for an ice cream. You can't fucking do shit.
That's right, we're going to verify that.
I didn't have a goddamn degree in computer science.
Okay, sit down. Hey, dude, I don't have a degree in computer science. I'm a podcast journalism major dropout because I was so fucking... I was so fucking disgusted by the whole journalism, the whole media industry that I quit 12 hours away from a degree, which is the dumbest fucking thing I ever did in my life.
Did you really say that? Because despite achieving that rise,
I've made a shitload of money and I've lost a shitload of money.
Well, I know that.
Now we're trying to
Right now, my bank account is in single digits. I think this is the poorest I've ever been in my life. The only reason I'm here right now is because I'm working.
I have $200 in my bank account. Like I said, I work.
You got more than I do.
There's no problem with that, honestly. It's not like the retirement fund is
going to
be worth it.
Mine was stolen. But let me put this way. I've been rich and I've been poor. And yeah, there are problems associated with each, but I would much rather deal with the problems involved with being rich than being poor. Poverty fucking sucks.
I do understand.
And one of the ways to guarantee that you can jack up your income and your earnings potential is to have the fucking degree. It doesn't matter what it's in, just have the piece of paper.
It's a barrel!
Have the degree. I'm going back to school.
know what? I would like to say that I thank you, Sarah, for responding.
What did you do?
Will I be able to plug into the PA system and play stuff on here? Blah, blah, blah. Is it up? Can I use it? Do you mind?
This is probably actually. Do you have a business card or something?
Okay.
Because yeah, I'll consult it, but since it's an ongoing legal issue, I
can handle it.
What about the bills?
Yeah. The way I'd be handling it, right. Was actually.
Take what you want. No problem. Take what you need.
How I do without knowing anything about it. Yes.
I wish I had a camera. The look on his face was priceless.
I just have to say, so far, I have
told you
so
I was
much information.
I didn't understand what you
were saying. Some situations, some of these discussions.
Gotcha. Let me back up, though, and have to say one thing. You said the answer to a lot of things is to get the information out.
Yeah.
That becomes difficult.
Someone got a letterman?
Newspaper.
Hand me the mic.
He's got a
leather.
Actually,
you
see.
Hand me just hand me the mic.
I
want to
do something fun.
The rest of the nation.
Oh, right there. Let me step over here.
I want to do something fun. Am I doing something fun?
Yes, you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have acquired a barrel. We don't know what's in it or why it was where it was when we acquired it, but we are going to open it and we are going to put this young man in it. Why? Because we can. After that, we're taking him to the airport in Niagara Falls.
We would need to talk before we get my lawyer involved. Okay. If you realize sometimes your lawyer has his hands full. I have a public interest.
I have to be careful about the way I approach
Let's talk about things.
Discussion. Everybody's breaking off into groups. Let's try and get back in one big group again and have one big conversation.
Good idea.
Listen up!
All right, we have a lot of different discussions going on in this room right now. Everybody's broken off into a bunch of different groups and is having a bunch of different discussions. That's cool. Let's see if we can get one big discussion going again. And see, why not? It was working out really good before. Let's see if we can get one big discussion going again. It's one of the hardest things to do. Let's do something hard.
Papa John's.
Here, it's probably good to get
one big discussion.
Give him a silver when he gets here.
Because we said we take a
break.
Oh, I thought we were still rotating. I didn't catch that a break was announced. Nobody told me. Okay, I wasn't informed of our current state. What's that? What? It happens. What can I say?
Actually,
yeah.
Thank you. Very sweet.
The top,
yeah.
I bet
yeah.
You. I swear to God, I
watched
it.
So,
Where'd he go?
Strick, by the way, I'm glad you were saying the stuff you did, because you gave one of the best examples anybody's given of a
shot as well tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I'm not going to show, because
I want to see it when it's really done well, you know?
Oh, I see how it is. So it's like, good boy, bad boy.
Yeah. Fuck up. I can hear it all the time.
Well, not the whole time.
I don't think it's really clear who's the panelist.
No, we just sit down randomly and take turns.
Tommy!
Johnny!
Did Andrew say hi?
It does make better pictures.
Did Andrew say hi? Did he say something mean?
Yeah, but you don't have anything.
I'm sure he said something mean.
As soon as he comes up and I can ask him, I'll shock you.
I think he's speechless.
Because I want to shock somebody.
So I can nail the picture to prove you're really hot.
No, you have no sex on them.
Yeah.
What?
That's unfair.
What happened to Johnny X?
We've been like on really, really flaky.
Hey, where'd Johnny X go?
Opener? Church Key, yes.
Have you opened it yet?
No, we're not going to be able to open it without breaking it.
Church Key.
There. Keep trying.
Here it is.
Hey, Street.
Yeah.
Is there a plastic cap like on the floor somewhere in the front? There we go.
What was that?
Oh,
and then I try to get
around.
Thank
you. Yeah, no
problem. Did you make that? Yeah. I'm making it for like 12 games. And I have like a little big deck. But I don't
know. You're how big?
I don't know how to make like, you know, the arm.
So this is traditionally the part where the panel just literally falls apart on itself, and nobody actually pays any attention to what's going on. So long as somebody's listening. Yes, the pizza is coming. They have supposedly, well, Johnny was in charge of that, so he was supposed to have ordered it and collected money for it, and he's supposed to be doing something about that. Mess. Yeah. From what I understand, there's a couple of concerts letting out at about now, so the upstairs lobby, the ground floor lobby, and the exhibition hall are both just slammed.
I saw you last week.
Now, kill them one at a time, drag their bodies off, cook them, turn them into pizza. The other white meat. Have you been enjoying yourself?
Well, mostly clear.
So long as people are enjoying themselves, that's what we're really all about. Maybe you'll come back to EFF next year. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
DHMO.
That's water. That should be water. DHMO? What the hell is DHMO? Well, okay. He's Mormon, so he's not going to drink any. He's Mormon. He doesn't drink alcohol. No.
If they request to be shot, sure.
I'll get shot.
Okay.
He even drinks the beer from
the ass or between the knee and the thigh or the arm. Do not do it on the chest, especially at the heart. Do not do it from the neck up or hands down or anywhere that you would want to get a tattoo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, where? What do you want?
All of God.
Right there.
Yeah.
He got his tickets
for less than
Come on. Fuck, I want to get shot, man.
Poor cow.
Somebody motherfucking shot me. Give me a lot of shot.
Get her.
I'm setting up
Klingon on sex toy.
You?
Oh. They
like
it.
Oh. Ooh. A Star Trek officer with a balloon. Life only gets better from here.
R-S-I-S.
Yeah, okay. No, can't do it on the torso.
I love helium.
All right. Poke him right in the butt.
We have a shit.
Well, you're wearing too many clothing. Oh, yeah.
Hey, no one's drinking that beer now.
What the fuck? Do you want me to pull that?
Where do you want it? Dude, it's go.
Oh! I heard that.
Woo! Next!
Oh boy.
Oh hell yeah, it worked.
I need
to say something good.
I can't hear your bonus
short. I'm risking a brain embolism when I do
would
this.
Would it blow the balloon?
That's healing. Oh.
Yes.
No.
Don't pop it.
I don't think it would bless every single element. It's
it won't blow up.
I still want to try.
Suck it.
Suck it long and suck it hard, Trebek.
Whoa.
Ruby, dude. I feel like a smurf. Oh, boy, I'm hitting puberty. My voice is dropping. No, not yet. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Oh, okay, puberty's hit. Testicles are descending. Woohoo!
And now Johnny X is an adult.
The funny thing is, there's chemicals that are heavier that you can
Johnny
drink
X.
That don't come out as fast.
Keep it up on the barrel.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Yeah, ideas, good ideas and bad ideas.
What's the barrel idea?
If no one's interested in it,
well,
of course, if you want to take over the barrel
what
idea,
the
feel free
idea?
To grab the barrel.
We could put 12 What's the idea?
In the barrel.
Huh?
Well, let me.
Look, he is probably the most sober and responsible individual here right now.
Sober, yes. Responsible, no.
He's not even drinking beer tomorrow.
Give him a bloody glass.
Give you the what?
Bloody glass.
Oh,
no, you want to rephrase what you were just saying?
Put them there!
Blah, 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 blah.
I understood after a moment.
Who's got the pliers?
Who's got the pliers? No one's got pliers. Not for you. No, we didn't. Nobody had pliers. No. A Leatherman will not cut through that metal band. You stunned me for a second. You need another shock.
I need another shock, but I'm having money except for plastic. And I'm not getting any of the motherfuckers about plastic.
Hey, why aren't you in the barrel?
I can't. They give it up and open it!
I'll get in my shot. I'll take charge of the barrel.
Ah! Cannot open the barrel without destroying it.
Whiskey sour, what's your shock?
Uh-oh.
Before that, he would like me to shock him.
I'm
not allowed to give it to anybody else in this room.
Johnny.
Unless he authorized.
Yeah, give it. Just give it to Johnny.
I told him he was authorized to shock anyone who requests.
But I'm not authorized to give it to anyone else.
No, you're not.
No, he's not.
Can you be authorized to go into the anime room and shock someone watching the anime?
No!
That is somewhat unnecessary. Yeah.
Only the.
Let me explain this concept.
You're giving me too many ideas.
Don't want to be shocked. That's known as assault. And that's bad because
sir,
the police comes.
I asked you about a very limited, legitimate thing.
I'm trying as a minor.
Oh, well.
I would love for you to show me anyway now.
It's been in my pocket for a while.
No, that's
been inflicting pain on me for years. It would be knocked out.
Holy no, a handful.
Oh, wow.
There are at least a grist and there's all over right.
Wait.
This
yeah,
is cool.
This is the first time I've actually been over to
the... Heat.
Yeah, I came over here.
Glowing bouncy balls.
I haven't been over to the
a glowy bouncy ball.
Where'd you
what's
been going on over here? Does anybody have a pocket knife to play?
No.
I got a pocket rocket, but I don't think anybody wants to play with that. Yeah, so sad.
Okay. The green balls with the aliens on them are not grapes.
Do you have anything that you want?
I need another shot. That is the issue in question. And I need a woman to give it to me.
Ooh. They do now. Or at least we have theirs. Juggling is fun. Ooh, lady has good taste. Thank you. That is good. That is really good. Yeah. Weird mixed drink that I found out recently. Rye whiskey and RC Cola.
Actually, that's a very, very good
mixed drink. Really?
I only found out by one with C breasts or above.
Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming, man. Just keep dreaming.
I understand. But I'm right here. I'm drunk.
No. Those are mine. Those are my keys. Do not play with my keys. Give me my keys. Holy shit. Apple brandy and sour mix?
We got a customer for the cattle prod.
That sounds nice.
Ooh. I know it sounds nice, but I asked you about a legitimate question, and I'd rather have that than a beer.
Hang on a minute.
I understand, sir.
Oi, where's the pizza?
Pizza has been ordered and in theory is on the way.
In theory?
Yeah, I think it's through the blobby full of like 5 million people.
There's a social aspect to question.
Trust the pizza money to the evil ninjas.
Reliability?
Trustworthiness?
Self-control. Stealth and what's the other word I'm looking for here because I'm still white. Self-control. Inventiveness.
Shock! Where's the shock at? I need to get shocked.
Shock him to make him shut the fuck up.
I understand.
Shock the monkey. Shock him.
Sit down, man. At least sit down away from the projector. Away from the projector.
Get away from the projector.
Yeah, just away from the projector. That's my only request.
Somebody unplug the projector.
All right, boys.
It's okay. I did it on purpose. It's okay.
Are you going to show some anal bleeding?
Yes, I am, man.
Awesome.
Rejected by Don Hertzfeldt?
Better wait before or way after we fucking show everybody. I don't know what I mean. See if you will understand.
Who wants to be shocked?
You do.
Yeah, kid. I don't think anybody else wants to be shocked right now. Did you turn it off and then try turning it back on? If you broke this, I will be so pissed. Okay.
Who are you?
I'm the guy in charge.
He's the guy in charge?
Yes, I'm the guy in charge.
Can I shock you?
No.
So don't shock him.
Can I shock you?
We like him.
Somebody take his place. Sure. What
was that?
Yeah. Scott Dog is in charge of that because I'm fine.
He's working on right now.
I need a nickname.
Little kid.
Yeah, good.
Dr. Sim. I've got this plugged in the tape.
Well, right now my name is Junkie, so...
Yeah, we do.
At the moment, my nickname is Junkie.
I've got tackle box in the Marriott.
Your name is Master of Disaster.
Just take it.
Seriously, my nickname at the moment is Junkie. That arc still.
Oh, wait, there we go.
Yeah, you don't get a deal.
There we go.
It's working.
No. You are a beast. All right, Shadow.
Okay. What?
Master of Disaster?
Right now, actually, my nickname is Junkie.
Fish heads!
Because I have this.
Fish heads?
All right.
We'll do a test with fish heads.
All right.
I need more stickers.
The reason that I'm using Windows is because I have to use Media Player 9 for my Cisco.
Haha! You use Firefox!
I have to. Oh, some strong man.
I love Firefox!
I've got to use Media Player 9 for Cisco.
That's the day badge.
The girl talks about RSA security, and she knows what RSA is.
Do me a favor. Go give me a stick over it. Yes. Please? I'm on the panel, please.
Yes.
How are you?
All right.
Are you calling your girlfriend?
I'm gonna shut the lights off.
Not yet.
Hi, Becky.
They thought the con was over.
Thank you.
why are you... Yeah, why are you still here? Oh, that would be a good explanation. Okay, you know. Loyalty is a good thing. Loyalty. Fidelity. These are good things. That he has a girlfriend.
In the evening, floating in the soup. Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Ask a fish head anything you want to, they won't answer, they can't talk. They can't play baseball, they don't wear sweaters, they're not good dancers,
they don't play drums.
Check.
How much space? How much space is on here?
It's a gig. Delete whatever you need to.
Oh, okay.
All right, Drew.
Sir.
I want to hear about anal bleeding.
Whoa! All right, next up, anal bleeding. Prop open the door so we can scare passersby.
The Queen of France.
Spaceball!
Don't let that man in here. He's an asshole.
How many assholes do we have on this ship?
Hey, Mr. Asshole, free beer. Come get one. You're cool and we like you. Woo-hoo! If beer's not your thing, take a shot of scotch or rum.
Or rum or rum at this point. I think the scotch is out there.
I can shock you.
Better than caffeine, man. It's a real cattle prod.
No, that's rum.
What is this
salute?
I don't remember.
Hey, screw.
Hey, when you get a chance, would I give you my email? Well, when I email you, since I had Gmail and I have lots of spaces, can you just send me like everything on your address?
Rejected by Don Hertzfeldt. Is your spoon too big?
My spoon!
moon is too big. My spoon is too big.
Wait till this is done, and then I'll pocket
it. My spoon is too big. I am a banana.
Tuesday's coming. Did you bring your coat?
There's a guy.
I live in a giant bucket.
He's seen it before.
No.
Never mind, you got broadband.
No, you don't. No, he doesn't. Because the hotel said no.
You're watching the Family Learning Channel. And now, angry ticks fire out of my nipples. Hey, do you want to go see a movie? I'm feeling fat and sassy. Do you?
Sir, come on in.
We need to shut those doors.
I love your commercials, man. Have a beer.
And a beer.
Come in, sit down, enjoy.
commercial segments entirely with his left hand.
The monkey pour coffee in my moods!
Perhaps it was the animator's creative stagnation in the commercial world, or a deeper loss of individuality therein. Without meaningful input and lacking any remaining reason or coherent narrative structure, the rejected cartoons grew unstable. They began to fall apart. Pizza update, please. They're being cooked. Got about half a dozen other shorts by this guy if y'all are interested.
And now, Angry Tim.
I don't fucking care, man. That's my panelist.
Rattle is obsessed with playing part of this backwards. We'll give him 60 seconds, and when I hear the majority of the audience saying, shock him to get him the fuck away from the laptop and play the rest of the stuff, I will. My suggestion is that we examine this and put the reversed segment on the website later.
In both directions at once.
Whoa!
Rattle. That's it.
That was the point. That was
Nick, you almost knocked the laptop over.
I'll explain that shit later.
You just kept my word back in the forward position.
Okay.
I don't know those things until after, and I have a chance to think about it. What? Huh? Okay.
The artist's name is Don Hertzfeld. We'll put his name on the Space and Science Track website. I highly recommend, if you like his stuff, please buy one of his DVDs. He's a funny as hell guy.
All right.
Other than my panelists, no one's allowed back here anymore. Come in, sit down, enjoy the film.
Hi, Sue. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, get your ass up here.
We have free booze or hits from the cattle prod, whichever you prefer.
Yeah. Come on up. No, we're serious. We're serious. You asked for it. Come on.
You said cattle prod.
Bears over there. This is out. I have no fucking clue. It's Scuzzy. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. The pretentious student film?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have fucked up. I've got these half a dozen of these films by this guy on a CD, but I may not have copied them to the hard drive. Stand by.
There's a little bit of ice left.
Check, check. Alright, I didn't bring the CD with me. I'm an asshole. Sorry, we'll have to play some other stuff. Because if the economy continues the way it does, we'll all need the 1972 McDonald's training film.
Psi Upsilon.
Would you like some french fries with your order, yeah, sir?
That be three filet, two cheeseburgers, and four cokes.
Good morning, sir. May I take your order, please?
No, we don't.
That's what we said.
That'll be fine.
A coke? Yes, sir. Yeah. Here you are, sir. Come back soon. Yeah, for the May I help you, please? Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
which one?
But everything's under control.
Nope.
Good morning, sir.
Folks, this is depressing. Would you like to hear an insane rant?
This way, was it?
Yeah.
All right.
As far as you were concerned.
No, not a Johnny X rant. I have to gear up for that, but I'll get you one. I'll prep you with one. Hang on.
That'll be 95.
Is that all?
What did you say?
Yeah, for the most part, Sayu is a northeastern chapter type deal. So you're not going to find much Sayu this far south. Except for us.
That the ones in different universities are. The chapters of different universities
have. If you get more ice, she and I will drink.
I can't hear you. What?
If you get more ice, she and I will both drink.
Oh, hold on. Let me get more ice.
Where are you going for the
ice? No.
It's
come
all
on.
About
no, wait. You got to stay
see
here.
What devotes the response here, okay? This way, we get what we want. He gets what he wants. Win-win. Everything's good. I'm not wearing a mic. There's no mic here.
Fuck up! You like churches?
Radio directional antenna loop. Make copies for yourself. There is no
since then I hide, enforced, jobless, poverty, isolated, alone, in this roadhouse. The brazen, deadly gangster police, crazy.